He's with the building.
Is he coming?
No, it's student supervisor.
Yeah, you know. So just, I don't want to go just for your session, engage. We didn't hear what was going to be here, so we should proceed.
Okay, it's 5:34. I'll call this meeting of the Finance and Administration Committee to order. We have a quorum, and Supervisor Rose will be in shortly. Supervisor O'Day, we haven't heard from. Paige, our Youth and Governance member, has a had a family emergency and couldn't be here tonight. So that's an excused absence. Citizen comments. Any citizens wishing to speak? Please stand up. State your name and address for the record. And if you would limit your comments to 5 minutes, please.
It will be less. My name is Donna Zerobi, 6207 203rd Avenue in Bristol, Wisconsin. I just like to say that the non-rep employees have been abused for quite a while. They have not received step increases for over 6 years. And the contemplated insurance increases. My daughter, for one, is working 3 jobs. She's going to have to work a 4th if you pass what the rumor is about the insurances. She cannot afford that now. She's paying for her pension, and then if you add on 12% of her premium, there's no way. We'd also appreciate the fact that the state employees are now paying a portion of their pension, their insurance premiums. They have no co-pays on any of their insurance. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Ken Gildauer. I live at 9128 Prairie Village Drive. That's in Pleasant Prairie. I apologize for giving some facts I'm sure that everybody knows, but I think they have to be stated. You know, we have a pretty bad set of economic conditions. There's no surprises here. Within this state, the unemployment's at 7.3%. But in Kenosha County, it's 9.3%. And in the city, it's 10.5%. Interestingly enough, in Dane County, it's only 5.5%. I'm not going to try to explain that. But, you know, I've found statistics that tell us groceries are up over 10% a year. Because the grocery store, most of you know that. The gas prices have gone up about 30% in the last 3 years. Our property values have declined significantly, yet household incomes at best are stagnant. So I'm asking you, because property tax levies just keep going up, the school district, the villages, the city, and this county's levy just from year after year after year keeps going up. And I'm asking you to look for every possible way, within reason, to, if you can't reduce the levy, at least keep it in level with last year. And a couple of thoughts I have on that. One is what we're going to discuss tonight that I'm sure a lot of people here are going to disagree with me on. But there's not a lot of places today where an employee gets health insurance for free. And I think it's right for people to have to pay some percentage of the health insurance premium. 12% is not an unreasonable number, and it'll certainly help work towards balancing the levy so it doesn't have to be increased. Another area that I doubt that you can do anything about tonight, but everyone knows that the golf division is just constantly losing money. It's just draining money out of the pockets of the citizens. The taxpayers can't continue to subsidize a failing business. From my own business perspective, and I've run businesses in my lifetime, it's a business that should be closed. Just put it out of its misery. If that's too bold, and I doubt that it's going to happen, please don't approve any more capital for that division. They're asking for another $875,000 on top of $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, whatever the debt is. They can't cover their debt service at $350,000 now. I don't know how they're going to cover it when it gets over $400,000. So I ask that you look at that. And then I have one last comment. and that is the practice of financing short-term assets using long-term debt. And I understand there's vehicles that might have a 3 or 4 year life and get put on a 10-year bond. I saw in last year's budget, I suspect it's there again this year, that the 3 year computer replacement cycle, you keep computers for 3 years, but you're paying for them for 10. And I just find that really, really illogical. So that the computer you place this year, 10 years from now, you're going to still be paying it, but you'll have replaced it three times in the process. There's something not right with that program. I hope you look at it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Any other citizens wishing to speak? Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. Reports from the chairman. Have we gotten the final calendar out for the...
I have it, and I'll distribute it later tonight for okay. The budget hearings.
Yes. So the budget hearing calendar will go out tonight. Any reports from the committee? Seeing none, we are on item number five. It's 5:39, approval of the minutes of the Finance and Administration Committee from August 16th, 2011, and September 15th, 2011. It's been moved by Supervisor Singer, second by Supervisor Gantz. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The minutes are approved. Audit of the bills, those are in front of you. That'll get passed around later in the meeting. Item number seven at 5:40, Public Works, member to transfer between capital project funds.
Good evening. My name is Jim Kupfer, and I am the financial manager for Public Works. Has anyone seen anything of this?
No.
Okay. Kenosha County is entering into the final stages of completion of the parking structure project. I believe it was started back in 2004, 2005. The last phase of this project includes lighting, security gates, and access control and pay station considerations. There is $181,000 has been appropriated to finish this project. The estimate we have for the final phase of completion is $173,000. Our match is 10%, or we're going to need approximately $17,000 to finish the project. The fund currently has a negative balance of $13,632 due to some of the previous costs that were paid that were disallowed by the state. In order to have the proper amount of funds to pay for the project and a small contingency, approximately $35,000 is needed to complete the project. Public Works is recommending that $35,000 be transferred from the County General Outlay Fund, Fund 411, to the Parking Structure Fund, 421, to cover the shortfall. The surplus in Fund 411 is the result of savings that the county realized from its last bond issue.
Questions or discussion?
Do we need a resolution for this? It's a budget.
No. Mr. Newsom, if you could explain the procedure.
It's, maybe I'll let the budget director.
The funds have been appropriated. It's just a transfer of cash between the general account, capital account that we do general financing for, to the specific capital project fund for the parking structure. So we're just asking to transfer the cash.
This is just finance committee.
Correct. Just finance committee.
And the because policy and the procedure has been that it's a memo in the finance
correct.
Committee that has the authority to approve
correct.
This transaction.
The appropriation was already set.
Move to approve. Second.
Then moved by Supervisor Singer, second by Supervisor Eckernes. Any other discussion? Supervisor Gantz.
When did this come to light? When did we know we would need this money?
I
can address that.
I remember reporting this to Finance Committee at least one audit ago. So I think at the end of the audit, when I think the fund showed a negative. That's my recall. So we were aware that now we still were going through and balancing things between that time and this time and trying to learn would we get a receivable, could we record a receivable from the state. But that fund had a deficit in it that we talked about.
Is this the general fund? Is that what the county general outlay account is?
No,
what is that for?
It's Fund 411. It's a capital fund. Anything that's bonded.
Okay.
Goes in that fund.
I'm gonna say that, you know, I would have liked to have seen this so I could ask my question prior to sitting down at this committee meeting. Oh. Since we're doing this. I mean, that's why I asked how far along we. I don't like getting into stuff at the last minute. So.
Supervisor O'Day.
My understanding right now is nobody's paying to park in the parking ramp. Is that correct?
No, there are people that are paying for reserve spots in the ramp.
Reserve spots.
But we don't have gates.
We don't have gates. Right. Once you finish this project, right. And what is the completion expected to be? Do you have any idea?
I think it's either July or August of next year.
At that point in time, there'll be more revenue generated out of the parking garage.
We'll be able to control who uses the garage and monitor whether it's county employees, those people that are parking there for free and using it for somewhere else around in this area. And then we'll be able to do what we're currently doing, which is sell some of the reserve spots for the Metro riders.
So the surplus in this fund is because of the savings on the finance?
If you remember our last bond issue that when Ehlers came in, we saved about $100,000 in that last bond issue, and $35,000 of it that we're using here. Another $55,000 of that approximately $100,000 we're using to fund some items in the 2012 budget.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Governance?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, item number 8, it is 545, discussion setting price for tax deeded properties. County clerk.
Good evening, Chairman. So we're talking about the how we set the prices on our tax deeded properties, and I know that coming up soon we're going to have properties with homes on them, which is unusual. We haven't had we've had one since I've been in office, but with the economy and the way things are, it seems to be getting worse with the treasurer's office. I talked to them today, and we have at least three. I know for sure that'll be coming up. We also have the old Roosevelt Road property where the building was taken down, which has high specials on it. So I've been kind of following my predecessor on how she's done it, and through Corp Counsel have found that that's not the proper procedure, that everything should be evaluated and brought before the Finance Committee before we make a decision on what we put the prices at, set the prices. So I guess what I'm here for was guidance on how you want me to follow that procedure.
Dave or Al, any thoughts, or any of the other supervisors that have been around for a long time, if they have any recall as to what previously was done?
I recall in the past what used to happen is when we had county assessing, the assessing division worked with the Finance Committee, and they'd take a tour of the properties. And then through that process, they would set the value. So, and then the clerk would then attempt to auction it at that amount. And if the clerk was unable to, then I think that at that point, and I'd have to double check the exact process, but generally speaking, then the clerk had to drop below that set price. But the initial auction had to be at the set. It may be a Supervisor Frederick remembers this too.
Well, if you have special assessments on a property, you have to see some of these properties you got, maybe you got one pick on a job. Right.
Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right.
Well, on this property that in question with the Roosevelt Road property, they're well over $200,000. No, that's for raising the property. And a lot of the ones that we have within the city have raised properties on them, which raises the high specials. But through Corp Council, we have found that in the past, we've always paid the specials first and then whatever is due to the county last. And we have found that it should be the reverse. We should be getting the money first, and whatever's left over goes to the city for the specials that are assessed. So we have sold a property that was less than what was owed and paid the city a percentage of it. We divided the money up, and we haven't heard anything from the city. That was just one of our test properties that we were trying. We have numerous properties like that.
Some of the specials are so high, you're never going to get
it. Right, and I did go with the city assessor when we had that first property on 21st Avenue. It was a vacant home that we took when I first came into office in 09, and had the assessors go through it, and the value of the property was much less than what the house was assessed at. And we did sell the property. And so I guess my thought is that we would go work with the city assessor. We would look at the property values in the area. And then do you want me to bring back every property back to the finance for approval?
It's my recollection. I thought that the I think that the Corporation Council advised that the there should be a separation from the clerk's office in setting that price, and thought it was appropriate that it be in the finance committee. So my feeling is, based on that advice, that you need to bring the information to the committee, and the committee will set the price. Whether you work with the local assessor, because obviously the city assessor has city properties, but you have Pleasant Prairie properties, you have...
Correct. And we do. We call the other assessors in the other areas. We usually send the parcel number to Rocco Vito, and he'll let us know whether it's a buildable, sellable, if it's in a floodplain, what he feels the value is, what would be a good price. That's how I've been doing it. I just haven't been bringing it to the finance for approval. So, and we haven't had that many properties. So going forward, I would still follow that same procedure, but then bring a bundle of properties to the finance committee and have them look at them, review them, get them to them before the meetings, let them look at them and see what their opinions are on them.
I think that's an appropriate method. This committee, do we need to adopt a policy on there?
We already have policy that this is the procedure. But as you say, Chairman, it's a good procedure. It protects everybody to have this done this way. So.
Yeah, and I don't know the exact number of the state statute, but there is a state statute that I looked up that requires the Finance Committee to be the overseer of the tax deed properties. So basically it should be brought before the Finance Committee. We're just clarifying that and saying going forward that's what we'll be doing.
So if you're bringing the information, you'll have some written communication from the assessor that
correct.
Is saying it's buildable, not buildable, it's in a floodplain, or whatever restrictions are to the property, and what they're estimating the value to be. You'll present that to the committee,
correct.
And then we will set the price.
Correct. And I can give you a price that's in a ballpark of what they think the value is, so then you can work with that and then decide if you want to have it higher, lower, whatever.
Okay.
So, and then if the properties don't sell, then they need to be re-auctioned at a lower price. They can't be just sold over the counter at a lower price. So I don't know if we need to go through that same procedure to lower the price if they don't sell.
What's the feeling of the committee?
Yeah.
Bring it to the committee?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's no big deal.
But we have a realtor on the board, so.
It's not that many.
Mr. Chairman, these would be brought to the committee in bundles or group incidents?
Correct. Correct. It wouldn't be one by one. Yeah. I would do bundles.
Is there a copy of the policy? You referenced the policy, or is that statute?
When I said policy, I was confident that the state law required it, but I also thought there was something in the county ordinance on it. We can double check. We'll work with Bernie to bring that in.
Let's, if there isn't a policy, a policy or an ordinance, if perhaps we could, let's either get the current policy or ordinance for review at the next committee meeting. whether there's one or not. If there isn't one, that we have one drafted that we can adopt at our next committee meeting, obviously not the budget meetings, but the next committee meeting.
Dave, I believe I have something already from Corp Council. I'll get it to you.
Good.
Thanks. Anything else? Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll get the IT team in there and they'll begin right away.
Okay. Item number 9 is 553, review and approval of the Division of Information Services 2012 budget. I think, we're going to, my thought was to have the committee be able to review this in detail and not be constrained to a 15-minute block during our budget hearing. So we're going to, are we going to approve it tonight, or are we just getting the information and then we're going to adopt it at the budget hearing?
Well, you could approve it tonight. And so what we were originally had talked about is tonight would be the IT hearing. Of course, you could done, everything's done tentatively, so you can then reconsider any item again the last week of October. But this would be like a hearing like the other committees are having, similar to public works.
So this is the public, this is really the public hearing where citizens have the ability to make comments when we're into the budget.
Normally we don't have citizen comments during the budget hearing. Okay. That we have.
So I think at this point in time, the committee is going to review this and we're just going to accept it for what it is. You're going to come to the not accept what you have, but we can have discussion on it, whatever. I don't know that we're going to adopt it. We'll adopt it in the hearing along with everything else.
I just had a question. Are we going to do administration budget as well?
We'll do that during the regular hearings.
Because normally with an administration committee, it will be done at the committee level and then done at the finance level. It's a new way this year. Why would that be in different IT?
Right there.
How did they previously handle your?
Yeah, because we didn't report the finance committee, we did have to report to the administration committee, and I was forwarded to the finance committee for the budget hearings. Because of the change, we would be presenting our third budget hearings, much like finance does to us.
Supervisor Singer, I think it's a good point. I mean, sometimes what I felt is that we kind of, I don't want to say got stuck, but we had constraints. And if there were any issues or anything we want to look at, we didn't have the ability to do that. I think, and this is a new wrinkle or new issue for us, I think that we probably should look at those finance and administration, however they were handled previously in the committee. And if it means we have to have a meeting Thursday night of next week to look at this, than we do. I don't want to get jammed in the public hearing with discovering new information and not having an opportunity as a committee to ask the administration to get back to us and clarify things. Is that what you would like to see, Supervisor Singh?
Yeah, but next Thursday is not good for me.
We can find a night. We can find a night. It can be a county board meeting next Tuesday. We could potentially do it prior to the county board meeting if nobody has any objection to that. How's the rest of the committee feel about that process?
Yes.
Mr. Riedel?
Yeah, I would just, for the purpose of clarification, there are items on this agenda which we would normally bring to the administration committee under last year's model.
That is true.
So many of the things that we'll discuss under point 10 tonight are things that we would have brought otherwise. The only thing missing is the actual personnel department's divisions budget. All the other major things will be presented for discussion tonight.
Okay. So that is maybe for next year when you do this, maybe you consider getting it all on there. We'll talk about what you have left. And potentially, if we're going to do anything about it, we're going to do it Tuesday prior to the county board meeting. I can't imagine that would take more than 30 minutes.
Shouldn't be a problem.
I mean, if we're covering, we're hitting the heavy issues tonight.
Right.
So.
No, it won't take 30 minutes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, how are you?
Good. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Obviously, you've just pushed it along.
Good evening. Marty Laycock, Director of IT. I've got Carl Samuelson and Sean Smith here with me to help answer any questions that do come up. I thought maybe we'd just start walking through some of the budget book information that was provided. The staffing level for IT, page 230 from the budget book, has not changed over the last 3 years. We're still at 19 FTEs. No organizational adjustments from page 231. From a operating budget perspective, on page 233.
Imagine problems with the technology.
Go figure, right?
It went to sleep during the earlier part of the week. To wake it up.
You didn't set the alarm.
Yeah, we should have. There's a wait now.
Okay. So, from a operating budget perspective, the modified and adopted budget operating budget last year was $2,567,000. This year, we're coming in at $2,763,000. There's about a $270,000 difference in that operating budget. $100,000 of it is really due to projects that we undertook during 2010 that had carryover impact on maintenance, those type of expenses. There is another $175,000 that we added on for maintenance for the 4.9 public safety communication system. Well, we did talk about what that impact would be. We did limit the exposure of that to 175. We are also reducing, also taking in some revenue of $25,000 to reduce the overall impact by $150,000 for public safety. So everything else was pretty much flat. We did see some reductions in the benefits due to some of the pension changes that were made. But other than that, everything is pretty much consistent from year to year.
So the levy last year to this year is how much?
Last year was $2,005,000. This year it's $2,007,000. So $200,000 different.
Okay. And the just review again the high points of that change.
$100,000 of that is associated with projects, capital projects that were approved in 2010 that had maintenance impacts.
Yes.
Kronos, for example, additional maintenance associated with that. And the other is $175,000 due to the 4.9 operating costs for the tower space, the rentals, those type of expenses. So you know, that's really $175,000 we're up by $200,000 overall. So,
the capital budget, you have a, you're going to go through that?
Yes.
Yes. So, so on the operating budget, everybody okay with that? I mean, it seemed to be pretty flat.
Yeah, I would say just to comment on the operating budget, I think you know, over the course of the last several years, we've very much have our arms around what the ongoing operating costs are for supporting our environment, maintaining the software, the systems. We do track it very closely. We run monthly reports and are making sure that you know, if we need to negotiate some software maintenance or hardware maintenance, we're taking every opportunity that we can to reduce those costs and maintain those.
So it's $100K for the capital projects that are carryovers in front of the. How much for the 4.9?
$175,000.
Thank you. That's my question.
Supervisor
Dean.
How many, what's your vacancy rate this year as far as personnel?
Zero.
Okay, so you've got all positions filled and you plan on having, at this point, they'll be filled next year the same way?
Yes, they will.
And you and no additional?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on the operating budget? Capital.
Okay. Capital budget In the budget book, there is an appendix in the back. If you recall, last year we kind of walked through the major projects. We divided our projects into projects that were greater than $30,000 and those that were less than. We thought we'd spend more time talking about the more significant investments that we had. Certainly happy to go through the entire list of projects, but I really wanted to highlight those major projects and the investments that we're making. So for capital projects and investments, right now we're projecting a total of $3,593,000 worth of capital projects. This is slightly less than what was approved by our IT steering committee. We were around the 3.7, 3.8 mark. After meeting with the county executive, he asked us to reduce it by $120,000, and we will do that. We did not, at this point, identify those projects that we would reduce. It was we asked for our discretion as we go through the year to be able to identify projects that we could eliminate or reduce. Just to, you know, kind of remind the committee, we started this process back in March, gathering capital requirements. And as we go forward into next year, it's, you know, at times it's 15 to 16 months before we're actually acting on a project. So we've got some, you know, sometimes there are changes in discretion and directives and initiatives and priorities. So we have to balance that with the steering committee and work on it like that. So we've had some, I think there are some major changes in our capital budget this year. There are probably a handful of investments that we're proposing that we make that are different than we have in years past, and we can, as we walk through this, I can highlight those and we can talk about what those are. So projects over $30,000, the county clerk, project one, we have the voting system replacement in there for $125,000. This project is something that Chairman Molinaro had asked a subcommittee to go out and take a look at and make some recommendations. In previous years, Chairman Clark, we have had this in our IT steering committee, and we've asked for further validation and review. Carl was part of a committee that was led by Supervisor Hallman that went out and took a look at different options that we had. The directive of the committee was to take a look at the voting system, which is very outdated. Our communication or audio-video system that's in the boardroom itself, as well as presentation capabilities, audio capabilities. So what has come back is a pretty good review that was presented to the executive committee earlier this week and approved to implement a system called Roll Call and two 65-inch monitors, wireless microphones, a voting system, make it all very flexible for us as we go forward in the future. So any type of changes in a boardroom, we can easily accommodate with that. We don't have to do physical wiring or rewiring. We're very concerned that with the state of the system that we have, that I think even last year we saw that people putting books on the floor disrupted the system and there could not be voting. So this is going to address all that and take care of that. So any questions as far as that's concerned?
Where are the video cameras that were talked about the other night?
That's video cameras are 28,500, so they kind of fall below this threshold.
Okay, so it's okay.
It's still in there. It's in that $3.5 million, so it's just not a highlighted front page project that we have on this.
Hey, Carl, just for a brief to the committee, what this is going to do, just a quick recap of the discussion the other night.
Sure. With regard to the voting system as well or just the cameras?
Voting system and cameras, what you're talking about.
Okay. The voting system itself is an integrated solution that's going to allow us to replace the physical hard wiring of the voting system upstairs with a wireless software package that'll track agenda items and the votes on it. It has the capability to export that for publication to the web. Much better means of managing the agenda and meeting minutes that go along with the county board meetings. The camera component of it replaces the Time Warner cameras that we had up there that are past their normal life expectancy. That camera solution will also have the ability to mix the camera feeds together, allow pan, tilt, movement of the camera so that we can instantly go to a supervisor on the floor to capture him on film, and gives us the ability to broadcast that feed outbound live via the web.
And then as far as the information to the public, we're going to have the ability to, similar to the city, to be able to index parts of our meeting to the agenda items.
Yes, one of the benefits that we will get out of this, since we have a time code that would be part of the video itself, coupled with the timestamp in the minutes, my team will perform that integration so that you can click on 37 minutes and 5 seconds in begins this part and take you right to that point in the video so you can watch the relevant pieces.
Do you see any other alternatives to what's being proposed, or is do nothing an alternative at this time, and why, if it isn't, why not?
As far as alternatives, this is, in my estimation, the least expensive way to get the functionality we're looking for. You could certainly spend a whole lot more on integrated solutions like you would at the Wisconsin Assembly, Wisconsin Senate in their chambers. The do-nothing proposal is somewhat complicated in the fact that a failure would be prohibitively expensive to fix. Essentially, a failure puts us in the same ballpark we are now with a replacement. My fear is that when we get to the reduction in supervisors for next year and we have to change the floor up there, the fact that they're hardwired and the wiring has broken numerous times, including last April when we changed seats, that it may not survive the reconfiguration that has to go on for next year. That's my concern, is that I won't be able to bring the system back up and make it operational for the new board to take their seats.
This project had a special county board committee, along with yourself,
yes,
evaluate the options. It was presented to the executive committee, and it was recommended that it be brought forward.
Correct.
Okay. Continuing on.
Very good. The next is Register of Deeds in Project 1. One of the things that we're doing is we're implementing this year a new ROD system, the TriMen version upgrade, moving it from the AS400 version to the Windows platform. One of the things that we'd like to do in 2012 is upgrade the imaging process from IMS21 to native laser fiche capabilities within TriMen. So we're projecting that's going to be $32,000 to do. DCFS Project 2, that's a replacement of desktops with laptops. There's 34 people within the Family Services Group that we think there's a strong case that would be much more productive and effective if they had laptops when they're out in the field. And yeah, I think there was a good case presented by Ron to support that and the effectiveness of his people and making them more efficient. I don't believe that there's any reduction in labor costs or elimination of FTEs. It's more just better efficiency of the people who are working, more real-time information being entered in.
And this is replacing machines that are up for replacement.
Yes.
And we're just making a decision now to take them to the laptop environment, and primarily because most of their work is now, the case management is now online through a state system, CARES system, or I'm not sure what the system is, but there's a...
EWASAQUIS is what it's called. Wisconsin Automated Child Welfare Information System.
Okay. Supervisor Singer.
Yeah, on these desktops that are getting old, are they like 3 years old, like the gentleman said here, or are we replacing them at 5 years? What are we doing?
Typically 5 years. What we're planning to do this year is we have a couple of training rooms that the equipment is much older than 5 years, and what we'd like to do is recycle some of our older equipment that we think still has some value that we can rebuild and put into the training room and improve what we have today, but just kind of repurpose some of the equipment that we're doing the refreshes on.
So. Okay.
The next project is Project 3, which is in finance, it's business intelligence. What I'd like to do is maybe just hold that one till the end, because I think there's a little more discussion that's going to go around that one.
Okay.
If we could. The next one would be the Kronos implementation. Really, this is a continuation of a previous project that we had started. This is additional 350 licenses that would include the sheriff. This really completes this phase of it, really completes the implementation of time and attendance and also future scheduling that we're going to be able to do. We've done quite a bit of work as far as ROI in the project, and I think right now Terry Neeson has just given us an update that's about a 2.4-year ROI on the investment that we've done. So we're going to continue on and complete this project.
Dave or Al, can you just talk a little bit about this Kronos and what it's doing?
Sure. Well, I'm happy to talk about it, Mr. Chairman. We have a $70 million personnel budget, and this is a tool we use to help us manage time and attendance, and we also hope to use it to manage scheduling in some of our more sophisticated operations as far as their scheduling goes, which tend to be in the sheriff and in the human services like Brookside. So this is an automated system where we've moved off of paper time cards for most of the county. In one area, we still are using paper time cards. That's in the sheriff operation, so we will move off of paper time cards for those two. What it's done is it's made payroll processing more efficient. We've already eliminated the position. We did that last year, so we're already saving the time. So that's when we have a return on investment. That's one of the main things that goes into that. We're already saving that money today before we spent the money on this piece. One of the things that I heard our IT director talk about was a return on investment, which is a little over 2 years. Again, it's mainly based on efficiency of staffing and payroll processing, so the actual mechanical job of payroll processing. One thing that I don't have folded into that return on investment in order to make the analysis really conservative is savings that we can get through improved scheduling, and the benchmarks show that you can save between 2 to 5% in staff time if you have a better scheduling process. I don't have that in the ROI. If the management can use this new tool to improve the scheduling of their staff and cut costs, that would only increase the ROI or reduce the number of man years it takes to pay back the system. But basically, it's a time and attendance, automated time and attendance for a payroll system. But does that suffice? Do you want to talk about more elements of it?
I don't know if anybody has any questions. I just wanted to make sure they understood what that was.
Just on the Kronos, the way it works, is that something you actually own outright? You just pay a lease and pay yearly fees for it? How does it work specifically?
It's licenses. We pay annual fee for licenses for based on the number of users.
So there's an upfront cost to purchase it, and then there's a license fee.
There's a capital cost and an operating maintenance cost. So, and all of that's folded into the ROI.
And just in relative terms, just approximately, what do the annual service agreements, the maintenance fees, run into percentage-wise as compared to the purchase price? You need to ballpark on that?
17%?
Yes. Per year?
Right. Now, the $251,000 includes more than just the licensing for this. The 17% is on the licensing cost only. So our projected operational annual amount is $45,000 a year.
For the operating side?
For the operating side, and that covers the 1,250 people that would be using time and attendance, inclusive of Sheriff and Brookside, with the advanced scheduling in place.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I know on the steering committee, the IT department's really got a handle on the contracts that we have, the maintenance contracts, found duplication when they first came in and eliminated some stuff. But they've also, I think, have been pretty upfront about identifying that when we're making these purchases, what are the changes in our maintenance contracts down the road. And we knew last year's budget, we talked about with all this Microsoft or various different things that we were going to have a higher maintenance that we have this year.
Well, it brings up a follow-up question. Once we have purchased the Kronos system, will that be good for almost indefinitely, or will you get 5 to 7 years down the road and they say, now you have to purchase a new Kronos package, and then you're starting over due to updates and so forth. How does that work?
I would think that we would be able to get more than 7 years out of the system. So I would expect to, you know, it'd be at least a 10-year cycle before we go back and take a look at, you know, the majority of our primary applications are, you know, probably closer to 15 years old before we evaluate replacing them. So we get our value out.
Mr. Chairman, as you're familiar with Quicken, QuickBooks, that's only good for 3 or 4 years. It's done, and you have to purchase the succeeding counterpart in addition to the service agreement. So, thank you.
Supervisor O'Neill. Once the Sheriff's Department is implemented in this, about how many county employees will be on the program then?
I think it's around 1,250.
Correct.
Yeah. So the majority of them, basically.
All of them.
Yes.
And the implementation of this system was implemented in the golf course this year, and certainly they've had significant labor management benefits.
Right. Golf course and parks. Next project, Circuit Court, courtroom audience systems. You know, this is just kind of an ongoing a technology refresh of our capabilities within the courtrooms. This is really the last two courtrooms of the eight that we need to refresh with new audio, just not video conferencing, but just presentation type screens and new microphones and audio systems. So. This is a little bit more than we've asked for previously, but one of the courtrooms is the courtroom 209, which is a very ornamental courtroom that's going to take a little additional wiring and work to get that completed. So. Next is a lobby security system. This is going to replace both the personnel scanner as well as the baggage scanner that sits in the lobby of the courtroom. I think everyone is pretty much familiar with some of that equipment was hand-me-down from some airport a number of years ago that's probably close to its end of life. The new equipment is much smaller, much more compact, probably much more efficient as far as scanning. So it's requested that be very beneficial for the lobby of the courtroom to make that improvement and make it look much better.
Requested by whom?
This is requested by the Courthouse Security Committee. Chaired by Judge Wilk, and recommended that we add this to our budget. And the next is a courtroom video conferencing system. The Chief Judge has asked that we implement a courtroom video conferencing system for one of the courtrooms. Legislation has changed recently, allowing more use of video conferencing for hearings. And right now, the only video conferencing that we have for the courtrooms is in court commissioner's office, which is impractical for a jury hearing. So we would look to set up one of the courtrooms with video conferencing on a permanent basis. Okay. Next page, District Attorney Project 5. One of the challenges that we have is document management and electronic documents. Faced with the decision to either build more buildings to store more files or to start doing something differently and scanning documents and making them available online, what we're going to do and what we're recommending is that we continue on with our electronic image management system that we're doing with LaserFiche and implemented for the district attorney. So what this is the cost is $64,000. It's really for the licensing for the people within the DA's office to use the system. It is not going to go backwards. We're not going to go back and scan all the documents that exist with this project, but it's going forward on how we can do it. Next project, Project 5 for the Sheriff, Toughbooks. What occurs every 3 years with the Toughbooks for the squads is as the squads are refreshed, we put in new Toughbook devices. So this year there's going to be 14 new devices that will be installed in the squads. They do take, while you know, we'd like to get more life out of the tough books than we can. They are, you know, they do take quite a beating in the squads all the time. So I think it's very realistic and fundamental to replace those. So the next project is a DVR upgrade. While the squads do have DVRs today, they are not capable of doing streaming video. One of the functions that we're promoting with the 4.9 public safety system is the ability to do streaming video. So the $100,000 would upgrade those systems within the vehicles to be compatible with streaming video. So I think I've given some presentation to the steering committee about some of the demos that we've done, and we've used the KBD cars that do have streaming video and how well it does work. So be very similar to that. Project 6, which is facilities, really this is a continuation of some of the things that we've done with Kane Energy Systems. This is a HVAC management system. So this is more building automation activity. There was quite a bit of investment that was completed into the public safety building when that expansion was completed, and I think there's been significant payoff as far as that's concerned. This $50,000 is really just to do further analysis and find out which building that we will get the biggest benefit from and implement it, whether it's the job center or the county center. That's yet to be determined, but it's definitely very significant and important for green type activities and better management of the buildings. Next project is highway asset management system. Really, we don't have a good asset management system that's available for the highway or DPW at this point. So they're looking for a work order management type system and help them manage the fleet and the inventory and repairs within the system. So,
Is this something Mr. Kupfer's requested?
Yes, it is.
Mr. Kupfer, yes. Can you tell us about this system and any return on investment? Your asset management system?
Well, right now, most of the assets are not of the county are not on any fixed asset system. They're in various spreadsheets that are maintained by different financial people. And in some cases, some of the individual items like furnaces or air conditioning units or even vehicles, they might be on a spreadsheet, but there's no record of maintenance. So we like to enter all those types of items into a system. We keep track of how they've been maintained and hopefully prevent any meltdowns or anything that might occur. There is over $100 million worth of county assets that we could conceivably put in this system. And I'd rather have them in a regular system that maintains these than a spreadsheet system that's open to different kinds of problems. As far as ROI, I haven't calculated one yet, because it's difficult to determine how many cases there's been where an asset is broken down and it's cost us more money than what we thought we would. So I don't have a hard ROI yet.
Thank you.
Okay.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Kenosha County Center, Project 7. This is a hearing room AV upgrade. So the public hearing room out at the county center is not very well equipped as far as audio, video, visual communications. I was out at a hearing last night, and we had it was a big problem hearing people, and the microphone's not working. So this is definitely a big upgrade. It's $80,000, pretty significant. It's, you know, a very complex room. You know, the height of the ceilings and the size of it makes it pretty significant.
Supervisor Gantz.
I'm just sitting here thinking as you're talking. I want to go back to Project 6 because this is something. Are you going to do all of the buildings, and you just want $50,000 to figure out what one to do next?
No, I think, Yes,
that's
I think
how you just said it, so I want
to
know.
Yes, I think the plan is to go through all the buildings over time and get them upgraded and make them more efficient and green and implement some type of building automation. The $50,000 is what they believe they can spend in 2012 and probably do one more building. And
to actually do the work, not
yes.
to study which one to do.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, that makes me feel a lot better.
Yes.
Thank you.
Supervisor Green.
Let's go back to number five here. District Attorney, Project 5, Document Management. If memory serves, in the basement of the courthouse, in a secure area, there is quite a supply of old DA documents that are supposed to be laser scanned and put into a system and not occupy the space they're occupying. In your comments, you said that this would, this budget would not allow for any backward taken care of, just going forward. Can you comment upon the status of that area in the courthouse currently?
I really can't. I do know that, there are several rooms downstairs in the basement that are full of files. That continues to be an issue with outgrowing the space. I was unaware that there was a previous initiative to do any type of scanning.
A little bit brought up in committee, Supervisor O'Day, recall them saying we took a tour of the gun that they were being worked on and they were reducing the area of DA documents. And that was an ongoing thing. So I'm just hearing different stories. I'm hearing from the building and ground side that this is being worked on, but yet from information services, it's currently not being worked on as far as reducing the amount of DA files.
Maybe Carl has some insight to that.
I think we're mixing circuit court files with district attorney files. The collection of documents we're talking about here are those contained on the second floor of the Molinaro building and not in the lower levels of the courthouse that are related to the court files stored there for circuit court.
Okay.
So this effort is a DA-sponsored effort to take all of the case management that they've got and convert that to electronic.
On your project file?
Yes.
Okay. Just as an aside, does your department have any ongoing efforts in reducing the amount of paperwork and so forth in the basement before the courthouse?
No, not this year.
Okay.
No.
That's my question.
Thank you.
The clerk has an ongoing project of scanning files in the courthouse.
Oh, it's just not through IS?
I believe it's through. Bethany, is that through the state? Your
yes, through CCAP.
Through CCAP.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Continuing on.
So Project 4, the next major area that we have is really the information technology budget. So with this, we have the normal PC technology refresh. This is $275,000. This is 250 desktops, 40 laptops. We're looking for about a five-year turn on desktops and probably about a three-year turn on laptops is what we're looking for. As I had mentioned before, we try to repurpose whenever we can some of those other desktops that if we can put them into a training room and they're still operational, then we'll still get some value. The next is printer technology refresh, $20,000. This is continuing to fix and repair or replace aging printers. Certainly our direction is to go with consolidation using MFDs, multifunction devices, to consolidate copiers, printers, faxes into one device. It does not really come out of this budget, but that's how we try to work with our customers to steer them to the right decision. However, there are times that we just do need to buy a printer. It does make sense to buy a $1,000 printer to put in a certain area. The next is SAN storage space. This is our disk space that we use in the data center. We're going to increase it by 48 terabytes. Over the last couple of years, we've seen a significant growth in the amount of disk space that we're using due to some of the initiatives of the projects. Some of the changes with some of the planning and development data that we get, we've added 2 terabytes worth of disk space for new orthography for some of the imaging that we're doing. So. This is just a kind of a continued expansion. It also will allow us to continue to keep our disaster recovery site out of the county center in parallel to make sure that we have enough disk space to do our normal backups and disaster recovery out there. Network hardware refresh. This is just replacing some aging hardware equipment. We've got a few switches that are in excess of 7 years old. They're not supported anymore. Typically, a switch is around a $2,500 mark. So this is about eight or nine switches that we would want to replace. DR hardware refresh is for replacing some servers that we have out in our disaster recovery site. One of the things that we did this year was we repurposed our VMware servers that we had stood up in 2009 as part of our project and moved those out to the DR site. Those were repurposed at that point. So at that time, they were probably 3 to 4 years old. Now they're getting to the 6 to 7 year old range. So we'd like to replace those and refresh those. So we've gotten good value and use out of those devices as well. So data center consolidation. Right now, this is to clean up the old data center in the courthouse, relocate some of our cabling, station cabling that's into the data center, and move it into a closet so we can free up that floor space and return that to facilities. So it's the area that Corp Council is going to be moving into. So unless we move that, we're going to kind of create an isolated room that has a lot of station cabling that's terminated into it. So we want to move it into a closet that's just adjacent and off the hall, and we can free up that space. The next is Office 365 Cloud Computing Initiative. One of the major changes that we had spoke about last year when we came to speak to the committee was our move to BPOS, where we did Exchange, SharePoint, Office Communicator in the cloud instead of hosting it ourselves. That was called BPOS. The next generation that we're very excited about is called Office 365. The big thing that we see with that is the amount of integration with Active Directory, which is a key system for us on how people authenticate and sign on to systems. Active Directory is a key component for the county, I think, and we want to make sure that we fully implement this correctly. One of the things it will do is it will eliminate people having to remember different passwords for the Microsoft online service or the MOS client. Every 90 days we have to go in and people have to re-register and re-sign in. So this will tie their Windows logon password to Office 365 as well.
Supervisor Gaines.
I would venture to say I'm probably the lowest in the technologically advanced totem pole of this room. I really... all this stuff is very technical to me. What my concern about the cloud is we're just using that for emails and stuff like that. There's no sensitive information that's going to be sitting up in our cloud that people can look at or hack into or,
Well, there is. SharePoint is a repository of information that we can store. People can store files and do different things. Definitely our email file system is out in the cloud as well. What I would venture to say is that this is hosted through Microsoft. And I would think that Microsoft has very superior skills, very specialized people who are out there taking a look at the environment and making sure that our information is protected. We are one of thousands of customers that Microsoft hosts. There are many large financial organizations that have their information residing with Microsoft as well. So while it is, yes, our information is out there, I think it's very well protected and very well managed.
Like sheriff's records, court records, that type of stuff, is that going to be up in
no.
the cloud?
No. 2.29. Okay. The next is the commercial broadband network. So this is this initiative is really helping fund the startup of our commercial broadband network. As we had talked about our 4.9 public safety communication system and our opportunity to provide broadband to the constituents of the county, there are some startup costs that are going to be incurred to do this. So this is helping fund some of the marketing campaign that we're going to do, as well as some of the equipment to help fund the beginning of that.
Supervisor Singh.
Have we signed on an IP a provider yet for that?
Yes, we have.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, the internet service provider that we're going to use is HireCom. They're the company who has developed the technology that we're going to deploy. HireCom was very instrumental with SewerPak in the design and development of the system. They took that initial design that they did a number of years ago, did a physical implementation in Wayne, Washington County in Wisconsin, and set up an ISP. So they're out there right now acting as an ISP, using this wireless technology and supporting customers. So,
is there any revenue that we'll be receiving off of that by implementing the system? Do we rent it to them? How does it work?
Yes. Yes, there will be. We've set up a revenue sharing program with them where what we have done is got them committed to be a heavily involved partner with us. So they are covering a certain amount of the cost up until a certain level. And once they get up to that level, then there's a revenue sharing that we get 25% of the revenue of the ISP services that would be coming in.
Supervisor Wright.
If I understand correctly, the whole backbone to the commercial broadband network is the dark fiber loops and cables, correct? The actual physical connection that the county, along with Gateway and various other entities, began several years ago, is that correct?
No, it's not.
How does it work down in this particular case?
One of the communication system uses a number of radios and transmitters that are mounted on towers, and communication can either be point to point via microwave, or it could be fiber optic.
For the wireless portion.
Yes. Okay. Back to the ISP or back to the internet.
But supplying prior to the wireless, how it gets there in the first place, is that via dark fiber or not?
Yes, our connection to the ISP, we've got two connections, both are through fiber.
Right, you're sure answer dark fiber.
Yes.
So when we have this provider, it's called HireCom, is that correct?
Yes.
They will eventually be able then to deliver to the consumer, to the entity who does not have internet service currently, via wireless transmission, the final product, which would be internet connection and so forth.
Correct.
My question is HireCom, has there been any competitive bidding process, or are they the only player? How did that whole thing evolve?
We did an RFP back when we were doing bids for the American Recovery Act, mm-hmm. and we're looking for companies that would provide this type of capability. HireCom was the only company who came up with a technology that would work and a plan, and presented it to the county. I did do some, other research and look for other potential providers, and they were probably four or five times as costly as what the solution is that HireCom is presenting.
So in your opinion, you're the only qualified bidder or provider for our county's needs, is that the way to say it?
Well, I would say that when we implement this, this is going to be the first system of its type in the nation. So I think it's very unique. It's very cutting edge. It's a unique blend of public safety and broadband internet connectivity for commercial use.
Thank you. Are they making any approximations of what the end price would be to the consumer for basic service?
I think so. I think it's, you know, I think it's going to be very competitive. I think it's going to be $35 to $40 a month for a 5-megabyte pipe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor May.
All the projects that you presented tonight, now, you started quite a long time ago. How many projects did this get distilled down from?
We were well over $5 million, $5.5 million worth of projects when we had
on the wish list.
Yes, that we solicited input from all of our department and division heads, and kind of went through it and started challenging some of those things and reducing it to a level that we think that we could accomplish within a year.
So just getting back to this broadband network, we had a $900,000 project earlier, right? That was to, we're finishing the final rings out in the county right now?
Yes, we are.
And those are the redundancy that we're looking for?
Correct.
Is this tied into that at all? The completion of that, does this somehow piggyback off of that?
I think it's all complementary. You know, one of the things that we wanted to do is, as we set up our public communication system or the 4.9 system, is that we wanted to have some redundancy either to the fiber or to the microwave systems. So with the fiber ring C and D, we're adding that redundancy to both the 4.9 system as well as the commercial network. So all kind of hand in glove works together.
And last year during the budget, we talked about some potential profitability or payback relative to those installing those fiber rings. Is that, am I confusing that with this project?
No, you're not. I think it is that. I think what, if some of the estimates that we use, Chairman, are there are probably 15,000 households that have limited service for broadband. And if we take a conservative approach and say we're going to get 10% of those that we can provide service to, if you quickly do the math of, you know, that's 1,500 customers at $40 a month times 12, that's $720,000 a year of revenue that we would get a piece of. So we don't get the whole thing, but, we would definitely get probably 25% of $500,000. So we see that as, an opportunity that's going to help. As we talked about my operating budget, I've got $175,000. I think we can do things to reduce that over time as we get a better take rate on the Internet.
So the return on investment, the anticipated return on investment to this project, putting it forward, it has to do with the assumption that the west end of the county is underserved by not having this, and that there have been some assumptions as to how many people will go on this. Is there on the commercial side, an impact on economic development by having this there?
I think yes, significantly. I think that you can, Municipality Trade magazine that you pick up right now, there's going to be an article about the significant impact of broadband to the community and how important it is for development or just quality of life. So I think I think it's significant.
So you, as far as return on investment, you're seeing this being able to have a relatively strong return on investment in payback.
Yes. I would say it's probably going to take us, a couple of years to build that base, but I think we'll be there.
Is this the beginning of a project where we would expect continued capital expenditures, or is this kind of it as far as our involvement, and then the vendor that's going to be out there, are they going to be kind of carrying the load?
I would see this would be the first year of two where we would look for this type of investment, and then after the second year, it would be, I would see the vendor carrying the full load.
Okay.
and we'd start seeing some return on our investment.
What kind of investment is the vendor making? Are they making any investment, or is the county putting up the money, all the money?
They're making the investment of the labor, the marketing, the people to run the business, to do the installations, to provide the ISP service. Majority of the infrastructure is already funded with the projects that we're doing, but it's really the people behind the business that they're taking care of.
So there's some sort of, we're not a partner in a business, we have some sort of royalty agreement. Is that agreement in place?
In the process of negotiation.
Okay. Any other questions? Oh, Supervisor Brady.
So if I understand this correctly, your last bullet point, this is the wireless portion of it that would affect the end consumer. When I look at CIP 107, capital project for $90,000, that's the fiber portion of it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Just a question of protocol. Why is it buried $900,000 in the back of the book here? It's a bonded item. Why is it not with our capital outlays for 2012 on our page 236?
It's not in the IT budget. It's in the capital projects budget. It's a separate capital project that we ran as a separate capital project. I can't tell you the page right offhand, but if you go into the facilities area under capital projects, it's one of the...
Oh, it's the facilities then, not the... Okay. Thank you. That's my question.
Anything else? Continue on.
Right. So the last piece that we wanted to maybe just talk about is business intelligence, which is a new concept, a new project that IT is proposing this year to kind of set the stage. And Carl's going to go into a little bit of detail on this, but business intelligence is really the gathering of the data that you have in all your different systems and being able to quickly and easily pull it together. To help you make informed decisions on a timely basis. Right now we have all these disparate systems that we're running, and sometimes they're very difficult for our users to be able to extract information. I mean, JDE is one of our primary applications that we have, and it's very difficult to do reporting and pull things out for our users. So oftentimes it's very laborious, as we have to provide reports to either administration or the county board that will take us hours and hours and hours to do this. Business intelligence is really a new way to take a look at things, to gather that information, to allow our users within the departments and divisions to more or less push a button to generate a report, or you know, quickly generate a report and come to decisions and present information. We see efficiencies in just the amount of time that we're taking in developing reports and pulling together information. We see opportunities on making better decisions, that we can make better informed decisions, whether it be staffing, take a look for the sheriff or for the golf course or for Brookside. What are the peak times? Where do they need to deploy people? Those type of things. So we see some benefits in this. I think, we've projected that there'll be a number of savings as far as hours through efficiencies that we could gain that would, have a pretty good ROI for the project. I kind of struggle with this. I mean, this is a little, this isn't a system, this isn't hardware, this is, kind of how we use data as an organization that's going to make a change. So it's a little bit out there a little bit. So maybe Carl, maybe you can just explain a little bit more than I did.
Sure. Yes. A year ago, we sat before the committee and talked about the need to analyze our ERP system and the potential consumption of business intelligence by the county. And at that time, we were given a budget for 2011 to perform that analysis. So at the beginning of the year, we took and looked for organizations that perform this kind of analysis, local and national, and what their rates would be. Identified 10 that could potentially do what we were after, and ultimately settled on a company out of Chicago called Northbound Solutions, whose sole focus in life is doing nothing but business intelligence and ERP evaluations for organizations. One of the things that we were constrained to was to find organizations that had no vested interest downstream of what the county ultimately decided to do. So it's purely an analysis organization. All they do is make recommendations. So throughout March and April, we conducted interviews with 38 people across the county, ranging from rank and file account clerk all the way through department division director level, to ascertain the needs of the county and what potentially business intelligence and an ERP replacement could do. Out of those interviews came a report, a presentation from the consulting company, and a long-term roadmap that took a look at a five-year cycle of how they thought the county should go about implementing and replacing the systems that they have today. The principal pain experienced by the people that were interviewed is the inability to report effectively out of our ERP system, J.D. Edwards, the accounting financial system that we use. Given that, the thought was to tackle business intelligence first, and follow with an ERP replacement later. So what we have addressed in the 2012 capital request is the business intelligence component of it. It's split up over 2 years. Most of these projects are rather lengthy to perform, hence the two-year cycle for it. To derive the dollar amounts, the likely investment that we would have to make, we also entered into an agreement with Gartner, which is one of the premier IT analysis companies, alongside IDC and Forrester and a couple of others, to take a look at the industry, what an organization of our size with our specific requirements would likely take to implement, time frame, cost, those kinds of things. And the result of that was the request here for $870,000 total, $430,000 in year one, $440,000 in year two. What we get for that amount of money is the licensing necessary to implement a system that will allow us to tie together the disparate systems Marty talked about. It allows us to put in the professional services to change processes and build the reporting mechanisms that people would then be able to use to derive the reports. It also includes the analysis up front of what those business processes are and identify as many as possible that could benefit from this kind of an implementation. I should say that while we conducted the interviews throughout March and April, we were looking for enough to provide a business justification for a project of this kind, and Northbound identified 68 specific reporting situations where we are spending anywhere from 2 to 240 man hours a month producing. In total, there is something like 28,000 man-hours of effort being spent on just the 68 reporting scenarios that we uncovered during the interviews. That's likely a small percentage of what is happening in aggregate countywide. They took a look at that and said, most organizations of your size, when implementing a business intelligence solution, can see a reduction in the amount of labor being spent on producing that of 40 to 80%, meaning that if you're spending 28,000 hours producing these 68 reports, utilizing a system that automates the heavy lifting of producing that could be reduced 40 to 80%. For the sake of the discussion we had with them, we settled on 50% as a reasonable number for the first 2 to 3 years, with that growing in terms of impact as the users became more comfortable with the system. So, doing some quick math, 28,000 hours of effort for just those 68 at a 50% reduction in labor nets us 7 FTEs worth of savings just in people time. That's the first part of what Marty was talking about with regard to the impact of business intelligence. The other thing that we don't have, because we have a number of point solutions, a number of disparate systems that don't right now communicate to each other or have the ability to report out of together, is the ability to get access to data that we don't have now and ultimately make decisions based on that data. So there are a number of examples of this. One of the things that we asked Northbound to do was put together a list of those. We have 10 specifics. Simple things like health insurance reporting that has to happen out of multiple systems within finance and administration, being able to create a report that pulls the data from all those systems and not have to do it manually. Take the data out of one system, put it into Excel, take the data out of a second system, put it next to it in Excel, and ultimately roll all that up by hand. Systems like this can turn that activity of several hours into really nothing more than the push of a button. Once the architecture's in place, once it knows where the data lives, once it knows the format you want it to look like, it's really just following a URL or clicking a button, and you've got the presentation of what you're after. That was the sum total of what we accommodated in 2011 and the resulting request here.
Supervisor Roach.
Is this going to require any hiring of employees by you?
It will not.
And can you give us a couple of more examples of kinds of things that would be done?
Sure. We took a look at three areas that were ripe for business intelligence, one of those being Department of Finance Administration, another one being Human Services, and the third being Public Works. And within each of those, there were a number of activities that occurred to handle reporting. So let's take Department of Finance and Administration. One of the things that happens is budget construction, performance management, all of the work that's done to aggregate and analyze department budgets, whether that be the ongoing analysis of the budget month-to-date, year-to-date, how are we doing against PASTE, and the actual combination of data to produce what is our budget book in the fall. There's 400 hours a year, conservative estimate of man hours invested in just that activity. At that 50% sensitivity, you're looking at a 200-hour reduction in the labor to construct those things. Fixed asset reporting is another one. Today, we have fixed assets scattered across a number of spreadsheets. As we move forward with a system, we'd be able to tie that system to other systems and spreadsheets. There's at least 200 hours a year of an analyst putting that data together. Health insurance reporting is reconciliation of third-party administration claims data and our own internal budget data, all done manually to pull these out of external systems and compare them side by side. In human services, they've got a budget construction and performance management component as well. Theirs is actually much larger because they're an aggregate of seven divisions. There's 720 hours per year of time spent just producing the reports that they use to analyze their year-to-date performance against budget and to compile the annual county budget. Brookside has a monthly financial reporting process that's about 500 hours a year that one person spends doing. All of these, as I'm throwing out the number of hours per year, we're looking at a 50% reduction in the amount of time spent producing the material that's used for the analysis. They do contract performance in human services to compare United Way data with some proprietary internal data sources. That's a number of hours, 300 a year, split between analysts and executives to develop and analyze that data. Public Works has a budget construction component. There's a number of reports right now that are difficult to get at that are things such as cost per mile to pave, snow removal, grass cutting, trash pickup expenditures. There's a reconciliation that needs to occur between the system that they use for reimbursements from the state and municipalities called CHEMS Pro and our JDE system out of which things are paid. There's also golf activity reporting. One of the things that the general manager in golf would like to get at is the ability to combine data from the time and attendance system, data from his golf point of sale system, and the expenditures that we're seeing in J.D. Edwards. This kind of a system would give him real-time access to that kind of data live as it happens.
And we have nothing like this right now.
We have nothing like this today. So those are 10 quick examples of things that are going on today that sum total are 2,500 hours per year, roughly, that we can cut in half.
This is a project that last year was brought to the IT steering committee. At that time, we pushed it back and said, we need a better look at this return on investment. They did that this year. We had a lengthy presentation in the committee. Certainly, I still have concerns with this project. Not to misquote our outside chief information officer on the committee, certainly it was very predictable as to what our costs were going to be. to take a look at all these man-hour savings and what does that mean? And a lot of times that conversation was, well, maybe we can reallocate the resources. You couldn't specifically look at something and say, we're going to have X amount of a budget levy reduction in 2 or 3 or 4 years because of this. Certainly, in his opinion, in my opinion, there's a risk. You know, there's no risk in the amount of money that we're going to spend, but there's a risk in realizing those benefits in implementing the system and doing all those things. I'm certainly a believer of better information. You can make better decisions. It comes down to how you measure it. This is a $870,000 project. We have outside consultants that are telling us that the payback is there. Now it's a matter of, you want to change? It's really a shift in philosophy. Are you going to put that new machine in place and eventually gain efficiencies and eliminate cost, and those costs are labor costs, or you're going to be able to make better decisions and save money there? Those are the two benefits that they utilized in getting to their cost benefit, and that's the decision. I'm not totally sold on it at a time where we have the budget constraints. It's always easy to go out and borrow money. That's my feeling. Supervisor Singer.
In that we're just completing the Kronos or expanding the Kronos to the rest of the departments, wouldn't you want to have that in place before you did something like this? And can you, is it necessary to do it over 2 years, or can you spread it over a 3 to 4 year period, the implementation of it?
Well, I think that I think that we feel comfortable doing the Kronos implementation, the BI implementation concurrently. I think they're focusing on two things, or two different areas. I think that my belief is, as we would implement BI, it's not a countywide implementation. It's, you know, we're going to take a couple of key business groups where we think that we can get the biggest return on investment and implement in those areas. That's why we're saying we're going to, you know, spread it over a couple of years. I'm not sure that we want to spread it further out than the 2 years that we have, because I think that we'll lose some of the momentum and the expertise, the staffing that we would bring in to act as professional services consultants to get us trained up and move it forward. But I think we're okay with the concurrent implementation. And if we focus on J.D. Edwards, our ERP system, and improve our reporting in that regard, I think we're going to have significant return and impact right away. So,
Supervisor Rose.
I would be supportive of doing this now. I think this has a lot of potential benefits. Analyzes a lot of facts, brings them together, and gives us the opportunity to make better decisions. We still make the decision, but I think one of the difficulties a lot of times we have is bringing all these things together and understanding the big picture rather than having lots of facts out there. So I would say this is a very good idea myself.
Supervisor Wright.
Just to make sure we get all the details straight here, we're on Project 3, which encompasses business intelligence and Kronos, correct?
Correct.
We look at the...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, sorry.
Okay. And I'm looking at the page 236 of the budget book, and we're looking at fiscal and payroll systems for a total of $685,566. Can you just give us an idea as a committee how that figure breaks down? Because I'm not getting the math to add up here between the slides for the presentation, what's the figure is.
There are two additional line items that are part of the Project 3 request for this year.
Okay.
Very small numbers. I can bring them up on the screen.
Sure.
We have payroll dual monitors for $2,800.
Right.
Laptop for Barno. 1766.
Those are the two additional. So there are four total. The lion's share of it are the Kronos implementation and the business intelligence.
So you have 430K for business intelligence. You have 251 for Kronos, is that right?
Yes.
And 2,800 for payroll dual monitors.
2.8K for monitors.
And 1766 for a laptop.
Good, thank you. Thank you.
These really serve the entire county. They're in that section. Everyone in the county owns.
Certainly the consultants that came in, what was the payback in terms of years of their ROI once we were implemented?
Depending on how long you'd like to take it out over, if you're looking at it from a labor savings perspective on the 68 things that we looked at, you're looking at a return on investment of 2.2 years. A far more conservative estimate, since we know an implementation like this is going to be a 10-year investment. There's certainly a reasonable expectation that after 5 years or 10 years, you're much further ahead. But if you're just doing it on the raw labor savings, 2.2.
So your primary investment over 2 years is 870. There may be some licensing or maintenance contracts beyond that. Are there any other costs anticipated bringing our level of cost to run this program or anything? Are we anticipating any other increases?
No. My staff would become the experts on the administrative IT side of this and would be in place to support this system like we do all the other business systems. So it's the initial investment plus the ongoing operational maintenance costs for the licensing plus my staff's time.
Okay. Is there any other discussions from the committee? What's the pleasure of the committee at this time? Supervisor Rosa.
Chairman, I would tentatively move approval as presented.
It's been moved by Supervisor Rosa, second by Supervisor Akronis. Any further discussion?
Yeah, can you clarify what tentatively means?
Well, we do a final approval
just
at the end.
Just for now, and then we're going to finalize it.
Yeah, that's why the committee has always done it.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Thank you. We are going to take a we'll come back at 20 after 9 minutes.
Did you have to raise
your hand? No, I sent them on my phone. A mental email that I
just got. Can't go on an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I should check this out. Regarding the 2012 employee policies, 2012 insurance package, 2012 non-representative pay plan, and the 2012 budget reclassification / in-range adjustments and position name changes. Mr. Reel.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will, with your permission, take them in the order that Chairman Clark presented them, and so we'll start with the county employee policies. You know that about 50% of our employees at the end of the year will not be under contract with the county as they were when they were represented. And, of course, the non-represented employees never were under contract. And so we are required to set up some employment policies, some employment practices that will govern the employment experience of our employees going forward. It has been recommended by the board and supported by the administration that we have countywide policies, and this is the draft of those policies that we would appreciate approval on going forward for 2012. In presenting these, I would offer a caveat that says, we did a lot of work on them in the summer, and we will do a lot of work on them again. 50% of our employees are not covered by these policies presently. We will find some areas that will require improvement. We'll find some areas that we can eliminate the policies as well. But by and large, this is where we would like to start going forward. The cover memo really summarizes some of the changes that these policies do have in them. Most of you are familiar from the experience earlier this summer with Local 70 and with Local 990J of what is in these policies. And so, with your permission, I'll go through and highlight them. It is 35 pages, and I believe the strategy, Chairman Clark, was that we would present these, answer any short-term questions, but we would, I would be prepared to answer any questions that you would have after you completely read the policies on your own.
Yeah, the initial tonight was to get a public exposure, an introduction to the committee, and that part of the discussion with the committee is, did they want to have this acted on as part of the budget when we do the budget, or are we going to act on these as separate resolutions and bring them forward to the board? So tonight with these this presentation is primarily for informational and to ask questions, and if there are comments or concerns that the administration can be prepared to address in a future meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now I'll briefly go down the cover memo and highlight some of the changes that we are proposing in these policies. The first five pages of this document are general policies. They're policies involving equal opportunity, harassment, workplace violence, drug and alcohol-free workplace, and some of the other general policies that state the position on the county for providing an excellent working environment for our employees. The second major category is what we used to call the fair hiring policy. It is a board policy, a policy that has been passed by the board a number of years ago and that we still use as a template for the process that personnel uses in public departments when we recruit and ultimately hire our employees. There are a few changes that are proposed here, or one in particular, and that is under A, under Roman numeral 2. We are proposing that all employees have an evaluation period of 1 year for employees. Some of the other employee groups had shorter evaluation periods, but standardized an evaluation period of 1 year. We have talked, and we talked earlier this year when we were working on the interim policies, that evaluating employees is going to be a significant and a very important role of our management team. And so evaluations will in the future be used for layoffs and promotions and other things which formerly relied almost exclusively on seniority for our classified employees. So evaluations will become very important, and that is why we emphasize that in the fair hiring policy. Hours of work and attendance under number 3. There are some things that I'd like to point out to you that are different from the documents you worked on in the summer. Flexible schedules are still a big part of what we are proposing under work schedules. Departments will be allowed to set their normal work day based on the most efficient way to get their work done. We are reintroducing FLSA overtime for all employees. And that includes the 171-hour over 28-day overtime period for corrections professionals, and it further includes mandatory overtime for all classified employees. Time and attendance is the third major category under Roman numeral 3. Under compensation and review, the most significant change you will find there is that we are going to require all employees now to have their wages directly deposited into an account. It saves our finance division a remarkable amount of work and residual benefit in terms of documented savings. And so it is time now for all of our employees to go forward and have their checks deposited. For those employees who cannot get a bank account for one reason or the other, we are going to attempt to work with our the credit union, thank you, to set up some mechanism for them to get their wages. Under benefit policies, we have had a lot of talk about changing the vacation, casual, emergency vacation, and all of the other ways that we take days off as county employees into a PTO. PTO is paid time off. It is kind of a one-size-fits-all time off. It will require advance notice to management in the event an employee wants to schedule a day off. And for emergency days off and sick days and the like, if it is excessive, we will reserve the right to require some sort of documentation. Important to the BTO is that we are looking to retain the same number of days off for all employees who have achieved them. And so you will see a schedule in there for a number of years of service and a number of days off. However, some of our employees have actually exceeded those days off, and we are suggesting that they be grandfathered. They earned those days off under previous contracts and under previous policies, and we would like to see those maintained. Under B, paid holidays, we are recommending that Martin Luther King Day be added as an unpaid optional holiday. And so an employee who wants to take Martin Luther King Day off and honor it can take that unpaid. The accident and sickness pay maintenance plan adds a three-day waiting period for classified employees that is consistent with what was passed by the board for the interim policies for highways and jail. And then the other benefits fall under that category, and they are virtually unchanged. The health benefit, which we will talk about next, life insurance and pension. Under the rules and regulations, the progressive discipline and grievance policy has changed from what the board passed earlier this year. And so the grievance policy, the opportunity for employees to object to every level of discipline is retained in this proposal. And finally, under reduction in force, the most significant change is layoff is not necessarily by length of service, but could also include other items such as quality of work, attendance, and the like. So those are the significant changes that we are proposing to you under the general policies for all of our employees. I would like to make one other point, in that you may be used to referencing our employees as represented and non-represented because we are going to a time where no one will be represented. We are using the terms classified and non-classified going forward. So what used to be non-represented are now non-classified, and what used to be represented are classified.
Just a point of information before we start here. So we take a look at this memo you presented to us, Mr. Riedel. These are changes that are now proposed 2012 policy, which differs from the interim that we adopted this year. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's my question. Thank you.
There's a lot more information in here, though, that of existing policies that we managed under, particularly the fair hiring policy. And that is the second major category in this package of information.
And then just to follow up, is it your feeling going forward that this still is fluid and a work in progress? So for 2013, for example, we may see further changes in this document. Is that your intent?
I would think you could count on.
That's my question, Mr. Chair.
Any other discussion? How does the committee desire to address this when it comes to adoption? Is it a separate resolution, or do you want it part of the budget?
Yes.
It
should be separate.
Separate resolution here. Okay. Our days are numbered. I guess it's going to have to be something that is taken up in November after we adopt the budget prior to the end of the year. So, Supervisor Ganson.
My only concern with that is you've created a budget that has this information as part of it. Am I correct or not? I mean, have the numbers you've come up for some of your budget items, do they include these changes?
The fiscal impact of this is certainly included in the budget, yeah.
Dave? You could have to flow along with the budget similar to the way we have the bonding.
Does that, I guess I'm just concerned that we at least have enough time for everybody, the employees, and everybody to digest what's going on here, and that we have enough input, and are we going to be able to
accomplish that is in 2 weeks we're going to be writing the government's budget. Potentially the first week of November, because we're doing budget adoption, is it the 6th and 7th or 7th and 8th or 8th and 9th? So I'm just concerned that you guys are up for a lot of meetings on game, but it's not going to happen. I don't see it happening prior to the budget hearings. We could do something prior to the adoption of the budget, but that means that we're going to be having a meeting on October 31st. We're probably going to be having another meeting later that week if we're going to try to adopt this on a Tuesday, Wednesday, the following week. Supervisor Hanson.
Yeah, I mean, if we're not going to do this prior to the budget, I don't think it matters. We can do it later. I mean, but the thing we all have to remember on this committee is that when things change or whatever happens with the discussions regarding this are going to impact the numbers that he put forward. So, you know, when all of a sudden, if we decide to change something and there's a budget shortfall, how are you going to address that then? I mean, even before the year starts, it's going to impact those budgetary numbers. And I'm not pushing for more meetings before the budget either, but I'm just saying, when you act on the budget, you're more or less including this because the numbers are included in the budget.
Mr. Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It would be in the best interest of my office and county government if we did have a reasonable period of time before implementing the budget. So although these policies are designed and proposed to begin on January 1st, we would like to give, for example, those who are changing from a vacation schedule to a PTO schedule, information on that, and it has been recommended 6 to 8 weeks would be appropriate. So some of that information that goes out to our employees regarding the changes that are going to happen in their employment, as much time as I could get, I'd appreciate it.
It's not my intent to try to rush it through.
No.
It's my intent to protect your department.
Thank
when you.
You
have a shortfall after we make changes, should we make any changes. You know, I agree with you. You should have proper time to notify the employees and work through it. And I'm all in favor of that. I'm just throwing out the fact that when we adopt the budget, we're adopting these numbers. That's all I'm saying.
The biggest fiscal impact, as I see this memo, has to do with the FSLA and the 171 hours?
Yes. Yes, I would say the overtime language and to some extent the vacation.
I agree. I would like to see this. This does have a fiscal impact. I would like to see it have it done before the budget. We have a limited amount of time, so it's going to be my. We're going to have a meeting. It's going to be Thursday. I think it's the first Thursday.
So we have our committee meetings on the
October. Go to November.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
October. That's October.
There's October.
November. Do we have a finance committee meeting on the 3rd?
We'll have a meeting on the 10th, a finance meeting on the 10th. Okay. We'll adopt the budget on the 8th and 9th. This week, between the 31st of October and the 4th of November, we could have
that night we're going to hit the resolution. We could have tentatively have it on there if we can get to it and finish it on the 31st.
Okay.
Otherwise, let's plan on having a meeting on Thursday the 3rd.
Okay.
So we'll agenda it for the 31st. And if we run too late, we're going to go into the 3rd. And at that point in time, I would want to consider anything that they have on the 10th, that we move it up. If we have to go that night on the 3rd, that we're at least prepared to do that. And
try to eliminate the 10th and have it on the 3rd.
Yes. Supervisor Williams.
Question on this FLSA overtime. What is the financial impact of that as compared to the way it was?
It's $200,000 for the jail.
What?
$200,000.
$200,000 for 2012.
Yes.
For the jail.
For the jail.
Well, okay. But it says men.
Well, the others have 40-hour overtime. Or FLSA, it's close enough.
Okay.
We already did highways in that way.
So the grand total here is $200,000.
Approximately.
For 2012.
Probably gets closer, but it's around 200.
Have we amended that?
Correct. But this is with the amendment or without the amendment?
It is a return to the original proposal, and so it is without the amendment.
Without the amendment, okay.
Our amendment, we went to 40 hours a week.
Correct.
Everyone. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah.
So this goes back to the way you originally presented it.
Yes.
So if we kind of have an idea of the dates, the 31st or the 3rd. If anybody has any comments or questions, please get them to Mr. Riedel so he can address them, and we can move forward. Any other questions relative to this policy? Can you move on to the next item?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next item is our proposal for the employee health insurance plan for 2012. At the direction of the county executive, the personnel office, finance office, along with our consultants, had about a 12-week process of completely peeling the onion, which is our health insurance plan, and looking at all of the ways that we can implement a fair and yet cost-effective process, which considers an increased savings to Kenosha County. And I'm pleased to report that we have succeeded in that. You will know that the county favors a utilization-based plan. A utilization-based plan, in short, means every time an employee accesses the medical system, the healthcare system, for any purpose, that employee pays a fee. So with all due respect to the gentleman who spoke earlier, our employees do, in fact, pay for their health insurance. They pay every time they use it. And the total amount of contribution paid by county employees in 2011 will be 13%. A utilization-based plan, as opposed to a premium share model, the county realizes $1.50 for every dollar spent. Premium share gets the county about 50 cents for every dollar spent. And this is verified and supported by both the healthcare consultant, which is the National Firm Horton Group, and Milliman, which is the county's actuary consultant. With your permission, I'd like to ask Dave to go through the fiscal analysis that we did prior to my presenting some of the specific elements of the plan and the increase in employee contribution that we are proposing. Dave?
So I have the analysis on the screen here. I'll go through a couple pages here. One is the impact of 1% cost share for an employee under the two different methods. And I'll say I have the word draft on here, because I haven't, although the I have sent this analysis to our consultants, and they have indicated that it's correct. If we want to make any take any serious policy issues, I'd like to then send those also to the actuary to have this confirmed and actually have them crunched. So, if you understand what I mean by that. So under the utilization-based, if the employee shares in 1% of the cost of a utilization-based plan, in Kenosha County it saves roughly $300,000. If it's a non-utilization-based, that saves roughly half that. Here I give descriptions. Bob talked about them a little bit. The utilization-based model is a model that influences behavior. So that behavior then generates cost savings. The non-utilization-based is a plan design that doesn't really influence behavior. I think Bob talked about the main example there being premium contribution, although there are other types of ways of having employees engage in cost share that don't influence behavior. So, again, just to summarize, you save roughly, in our plan, about $300,000 for each 1% of employee cost share in a utilization-based plan, and about half that in a non-utilization-based plan. And then I did a comparison of four different permutations of this. The utilization-based is what's in our budget. So you can see the total cost of the plan is about $22 million. The employee shares about 20% of that, so reduces it by a little over $4 million. And the county cost is about $17.5 million. In a non-utilization-based, let's say this is a premium contribution, where the employee would pay roughly 20% of the premium. So if it were $20,000 a year, it would be 20% of that, or about $4,000 a year. The total cost of the plan then becomes $24 million. The employee share then becomes, you know, the employee has to pay higher costs there.
Can I ask this question? In your example here, your so-called non-utilization, your premium contribution, are you assuming then that the employee also makes a contribution toward the office visit to the doctor, the hospital?
No. In this example, this column D, that's pure premium contribution, no co-pays, no deductibles. So, in this plan, it's pure premium contribution. It would be about $24 million. The employee share would be just shy of $5 million. The county cost would be quite a bit higher, about $19.5 million. But still, the employee ends up paying 20% of the total cost of $24 million. This column E is kind of a hybrid there, where I blended these two together, and then some of the stuff starts to get actuarial. I need to send it to the actuary, but the basic concept and the big picture is still accurate. So let's say I take this column C, keep that, as Supervisor Rose said, there still are the co-pays, still are the deductibles, and then I tie into that an additional 12% premium contribution. Well, the total cost of the plan for plan C goes up, but not as much as if it were pure premium contribution. It goes up to $23 million.
Well, why is that?
The reason is because when you have a premium contribution, it increases cost.
Utilization.
It increases utilization, it increases cost of the plan. That's why cost goes up when all you have is a premium contribution or something that doesn't influence behavior. So you can see in this column E, then the employee share is a pretty big number of $7 million. The county cost is lower than both C and D, but the employee share is close to 31%. So I don't think we would ever design a plan like this. There would be a way of making something more cost-effective for the county, yet still achieve a lower cost for the employee. So if the county wanted to do something like this, we would just have to totally go to their drawing board and design the plan differently. And then column F is if we just had something similar to the state where there's just a pure premium contribution of 12%, no co-pays, no deductibles. I think that's what the state plan is.
Correct.
No co-pays, no deductibles. Premium contribution of 12%, the employee, the total cost of the plan is $23 million. The employee share is just shy of $3 million. The county cost, though, is $20 million. So under this plan that mimics the state plan, it's quite a bit higher than the plan that we have in the 2012 budget. So those are the three permutations. And I think, Bob, I should stop there.
Yes.
Unless you think I...
No, that's fine. Okay. Those numbers, again, we have verified with our healthcare consultant. And we will have further actuarial analysis done on them by Milman. However, you can see that the best method, at least in our view, the best method for managing our employees' health benefit in a fair manner that is cost-effective to the citizens of Kenosha County. And as a result of our amended plan, we'll save the county $1 million this year and $1 million next year. Is the utilization-based plan with a combination of co-payments and deductibles. I want to start with the coolest part of this plan that we are proposing for 2012. Many of you know that we make available to our employees $250 that they can use for health club memberships and the like. We are going to take that money and invest it in a program that is called Vitality. Vitality will be the first comprehensive wellness program that has been introduced to county government in its history. Vitality is a Humana-based plan, and it basically uses incentives, prizes, if you will, to encourage employees to engage in total wellness. And when I say total wellness, I am not just talking about losing weight or not being fat or not smoking or any of the other more common things, but actually integrating all of the things that are important in a well lifestyle, including getting regular blood pressure checks, having your regular cancer screenings, mammograms, colonoscopies, etc., routine vaccines, flu and pneumonia shots, and those things. And all of those things add up to points, and all of those points add up to achievement levels, and achievement levels get you prizes. And it is a kind of a fun, very cool way of introducing our employees to a comprehensive wellness program. It is a third party, completely displaced from county government, and we'll track behaviors on that. And hopefully somebody will win the trip to Italy that apparently they give away once a month. Connected to that, then, is we are not charging co-payments for preventive care. And so all of the things that are involved in wellness screenings and stuff will come to our employees without a co-payment. This is driven as much by the idea of the Vitality Program as it is losing our grandfather status for the federal health plan, or what we know as PPACA, or the Obamacare plan. And so these now will become no co-payment services that our employees will be able to access. The other changes then in co-payments will include the following. Office visits will go up to $35 from $33. Emergency room will not change. It will remain at $100. Diagnostics and outpatient services will also go up the same $2. Outpatient diagnostic services, which are sophisticated diagnostics, such as PET scans and MRIs, will increase to $50. Outpatient services, outpatient surgeries, et cetera, will stay at $105, which is where they are now. We have had a problem with what are called outpatient facility charge recently. Facilities that house doctor's office within a hospital facility have begun charging $150 for people to access their doctor through that facility. It's an unnecessary charge, and it's an unnecessary charge. It is a way for some of the larger providers to make a few more dollars, and so if you do not access your care in a facility that charges that facility charge, you will not have this copayment. If you do, it will be $50. And it is somewhat of an educational experience for the county that we will help our employees with. In short, getting your flu shots and your allergy shots at your doctor's office will not incur that charge. If, however, you go to a large facility such as Children's Hospital, you will incur that charge. Inpatient services, inpatient hospitalization, the copay is going to double to $300. The cost to the plan is just simply increased to that level. Maybe the most sophisticated or the significant change that we are proposing is a $150 deductible on preferred and non-preferred drugs. So tier 2 and tier 3 drugs will carry a $150 upfront deductible. Again, that is to drive our employees to the less expensive generic plan and yet not overcharge them if they can't get their drugs through the generic program. Generic will not have the $150 deductible. I'm very proud to report that our employees access generics at about 70%, which is way ahead of the curve. And so that has been a useful direction tool, and it's clearly beneficial to the county. An additional proposal in our plan is the elimination of the flex contribution. Although flexible spending accounts will remain part of our plan, the county is proposing now eliminating the $800 and $400 family contribution. Attached to your packet of information, then, are a few other items. You will see the analysis of the county contribution by employees. Again, I emphasize that we are 8 points ahead of the state in our contribution, and these changes will lift the employee share, cost share, to 20%. The savings that we have proposed are outlined on the next page. You'll see the $1 million savings for 2012. The elimination of the county contribution will gain $300,000, $200,000 for the $150 deductible on the Tier 2 and 3 drugs. Inpatient copayment increase will net $150,000, and changes in other copayments will net $100,000. There will also be a contribution we anticipate from the Deputy Sheriff's Association as they go forward, and so that will gain the county $1 million in additional savings. The other thing I added, just so you can take a look at the 10-year history of our health insurance, we are a remarkably successful plan by nearly everyone's analysis. This year we are having a terrible year, though, I will admit. But over the last 10 years, the county has been ahead of both the national curve and the Midwest curve in terms of performance for increases in what the county has to pay for health insurance. So that is my presentation, Mr. Chairman, and I'm happy to answer questions.
Supervisor Rose.
Bob, when you talk about the employee share and the percentage, how did you come to that conclusion?
If you add the amount of money the employees pay, and
you're talking about the 150 or these various numbers here.
Take all of our employees, and all of the money that they pay goes here, and all of the money we pay for medical services goes here, and you divide the medical services into the amount of money employees pay through copayments, our employees will be paying just short of 21%.
Okay. So did you use the figures from 2011 to come to that conclusion, or
2011
what?
Is 13%. That's okay. Where we started.
I see. So
we added the new services to come up to 21%.
And that's based upon what you expect the so-called premium to be in 2012, or at least the county's, how you break that down into what would be a premium if it were insured.
We project the amount of money that we're going to spend in services. And we then project the amount of money that we will get in copayments and deductibles. We have those figures because of track record, and they are provided to our consultants by our providers, Humana in this case, and they actuarially determine what that percentage is.
I see. And that's based on 2011 figures? Is that your starting point?
No, it's a projection for
2012.
We are going to save $1 million in 2012 and 2013.
So your overall costs in 2012, how much more do you expect to spend than in 2011? You know?
I can get that.
Yeah, okay. Dave's got that.
I think it's about $800,000.
More?
Yeah.
$900,000.
You know, I think the common thought is that in large companies, private sector, there's an employee premium contribution. What's the difference? Why the figures on the board if the expectation is that IBM and Johnson and a lot of other companies have employee contributions. Where's the differences?
It's in the utilization base. If we save a dollar and a half for every dollar I spend in copays, or for every dollar I spend in copays, we only realize a 50-cent savings through a premium contribution, we have to propose that to you. It is the best idea for county government. It literally reduces the cost because of the cost that is incurred by the employees. I had a friend recently, and I share this example only because I think a back surgery is about a week in the hospital. Okay. Apparently, back surgery now is a day in the hospital. And they gave this individual a choice. He could spend a couple of days in the hospital, or he could come in at 6 and get out at, I don't know, 6 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. If you choose that in our plan, we say that the county saves a significant amount of money, and you save half of what it would cost to spend 2 days there. Mm-hmm. That's why it works. If you choose the $150 option, then you also save the county several other days' worth of cost. And so if you take the amount of money we pay, that's real hard cash. That's what we're proposing in the percentage. But the residual benefit of that is significant savings to the pool that we pay for medical care. If you pay $35 for an office visit, you are paying 70% of the actual cost incurred for an office, mm-hmm. for a simple office visit as opposed to a specialty office visit. And so that's how we do this. I mean, the $12 you pay for a generic, in many cases, exceeds the amount that the generic costs the county. And in that case, you pay the reduced amount. But any time that we can get an employee to accept a generic option as opposed to another option, assuming it works for them, the county saves a significant amount of money. And so it is the residual savings on what we actually pay in costs that really makes this the better option than a straight premium contribution.
And finally, I think it would be very informative for county supervisors and educational if you would, in written form, take what is the average employee in the Kenosha County earn? You probably have that figure, don't you?
Ballparking?
Yeah.
40.
Well, why don't you put that down? And in 2012, what will that person be paying for contributions in dollars and cents to toward pension, et cetera, so that we can kind of visualize the difference between 2012, let's say, and prior years where there wasn't that contribution, using that same 2012 average income of $40,000 or whatever you say it is. I think that would be very educational to visualize that and see it on this particular point.
Thank you, sir.
From what I get of your analysis of the way we have our health care plan and the way the changes that you're saying, it would be wise for corporate America to have a plan like this and the state of Wisconsin to have a plan like this. It would actually save them money, and yet we're being advised to be like the corporations and be like the state of Wisconsin. And so I applaud your research on this and the way you're going at it. I know I've been chairman of administration committee, and I've gone through up and down you this for many years, and I always thought that at some point there would be a premium payment, and you've proved me wrong on all of those in all those years that we've been doing this. So
thank you, Supervisor Singer. If I can speak to the state plan, the state plan is unique in the fact that it offers a narrower provider group than we do. The state plan offers to people on the state plan in this area 4 options, really 5. And the state, its least expensive plan is the one you pay 12% for. You know that they require a 12% premium. There is a $500 deductible on the prescription medicine side, and that would be the total the total cost, regardless of how many times you access the plan. It does not require copays, and it does not have any medically based deductibles. However, if you choose any plan other than that plan, there is an increased cost, but also not in co-payments and deductibles. And so when we talk about the inexpensive nature of the plan, it has as much to do with the plan design and the provider network, the limited provider network, as it does with any other part.
But the strong side of ours is that we're affecting utilization rates.
Yes.
And by affecting utilization, that brings down costs.
Correct.
Over the long term. And many analyses have been done as far as healthcare, and they always come back to saying the consumer needs to be involved in making decisions, and yet without a system like ours, there's basically no decisions made because I got a Cadillac plan, pay for everything. So utilization is high, and they don't pay the co-pays, but, you know, utilization's high, cost is high, and it just continues that spiral of increasing costs.
For every dollar a county employee benefits by making a particular decision, I'm not going to the emergency room, I'm rather going to wait for my doctor's office, that kind of decision, based on, obviously, the medical condition. Every time they make a decision that saves them money, it saves the plan money.
Yeah, in the way
and
we.
That's why it works.
The only good part about the other plans is that it ensures that costs are going to go up, and thereby ensuring that insurance companies make more money, because they get a percentage of what the cost is.
Right.
So
we save on that insurance company.
Yeah,
cost.
we got that side of the equation as well. We own our own insurance company. We are self-insured.
Okay.
So we've got both ends of the equation. So we've done it right.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Anybody else?
Okay. Kenosha County's got it right, and everybody else has got it wrong. That's what we're all led to believe. I mean, I agree with the concept. I've told you this, Mr. Riedel. I agree with the concept of making the users of insurance consumers so they make decisions. I don't believe that you can have one without the other, meaning we can do all these things within the plans to make them consumers, but, and this is considered a preferred provider plan, is that correct?
It is a PPO.
Okay, it's a PPO. 19% of PPOs have no deductibles. 81% of them have deductibles. I've talked to, after our meeting the other day, I've talked to different insurance agents of my clients that have, this one has 68 employees, the other one has 38 employees. Humana plans, same type of plans that we have, virtually the same network. And when we look at our copay amount, you know, the one plan has $30, the other one has $25, we're at $35. The one plan has a copay of $1,000 and $3,000. The other one has a $1,500 copay and a $3,000. Kenosha County. Out-of-pocket maximum for the family, $3,006, $3,000, and $9,000. Kaiser average deductibles on a single policy in a PPO, $675 and $1,521. Preventive care, we're at zero, they're at zero. Emergency room, $250 in this plan, we're at $100. Diagnostic services, they're at 10% after they meet the deductible that they're paying out of their pocket. We're at a $35 fixed. I think these plans that our local employers are putting out are making their employees consumers as well. Very similar comparisons. And then take a look at it. And they're contributing, in one company, they're contributing 20% of the premium. And the other one, they're contributing 33% of the premium. So I don't, when I look at this plan, we're taking steps, but we're not anything special compared to the real world. You look at Kaiser, and you've looked at it. You know I've looked at it. You look at that data, and I'm not buying it. It's no surprise. I when we had this meeting, I'm disappointed that we put a resolution. I put a resolution out earlier in the year. I waited. I've held back because the county executive was going to work on something. Been working on it since June. Has not involved one county board supervisor in that conversation. We get it laid on us the other day. Says that I've taken into account all the things that I've heard from all the supervisors except for one, employee contribution. That was there, that was put on the table. I am a proponent. I believe it's time. I believe the public has been dealing with employee contributions. The statistics are out there. I've had them out there before. The taxpayers expect it. So whether we make adjustments within this plan, and I've talked to the county executive, how you balance it out, whether it's all of this, or you're getting the savings by having contributions, so we're not in this piling on mode. I hear the piling on, but the public has been piled on all day long. So when I evaluate this, I don't see anything that is exceptional. The insurance industry, they don't look at this, and I've talked to two different insurance agents. They don't look at this premium, the contribution of this 20% where we're saying we're going from 13 to 20, and we're misleading the public. We're not purposely misleading the public, but we got an editor at Kenosha News that doesn't know squat about health insurance. And he's got everybody believing that they're paying 20%. It's not true. In America, or in these employers that are growing, they have co-pays, they have deductibles, and they have contribution, and contribution being defined coming out of their paycheck. So I don't disagree with making them consumers. We've been shifting that way, but I disagree with not having contributions. It's time, and I'm going to support an effort that we do that. I may not support 12%. I may want to see some changes within this plan to balance it out, but we have to take that step. I think the taxpayers and the public expect it.
What are the premiums on those policies that you're talking about there? I mean, the total premium, what is?
Well, I'll take a family premium. $1,373.
A month.
A month. So in this one, these employees are paying, it's a 33 employee organization that's on there may be more employees. They're paying 33%.
And it's killing.
I mean, what is the total premium cost is what I'm interested in. Like the $1,300. Oh, $1,300. So they're 13,000, 14, 15, about 15, 5 maybe?
22,000. $1,800, $1,900.
They don't have copays.
What?
They don't do copays.
Ours is.
I don't believe Racine County has copays. At least the last time I looked at it.
$19,000, $2,000.
And their premium is lower than ours.
That's what the paper says. $19,000.
I think they pay a 16%. I don't know what they have in terms of
2011. But
may I ask how many employees? You said 33 employees.
33, and the other one is 68. And their 68 is $1,025 for a family plan.
This is
now,
16,
it's lower 15, because they have deductibles. You know, the one has a 1,000, 3,000 family. That all comes into play.
I don't know.
But
age of the employees come into play. Yeah.
Well, the number of employees is a significant thing. We have 2,500 that we insure. And so we're collecting more money from a larger number of people and paying less claims.
You have voices.
Any other discussion? Okay, moving on to the next item.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next thing we're going to propose to you is the non-classified employee pay plan. In short, non-represented employees or non-classified employees now, as we're going to call them, have not had a step increase since 2008. And in that year, it was 50% of a step increase, or half of what the plan calls for. Non-represented or non-classified employees have fallen behind all of their counterparts in county government with respect to raises, and we are seeking that the board recommit itself to a plan that it can be comfortable with and offer regular step increases to these non-classified employees. They generally work without limits. They are mostly managers and supervisors and do not have the benefit of a plan that earns them overtime. Attached under page 2 and I believe page 3 in your plan, or maybe it's back-to-back, as you have, is a 10-year comparison of non-classified employees compared to their classified counterparts. And I have divided that up by bargaining unit, even though bargaining units are going away. And you will see that over 10 years, if each employee started with $1 under the red line in each category, at the end of 10 years, which ended last year, non-classified employees would have earned 38 cents on its dollar, and that is just a little over half of what the next least amount of money earned by public health nurses would be. So we're hoping to come up with a plan that you can be comfortable with and a process that you will support going forward so that our employees can move up wage schedules as they are intended. Now, if I can go to the body of the employee pay plan, I would like to highlight, and they are highlighted for you in yellow, the changes that we are proposing. It's important under page 2 and page 3, where we talk about step increases, that you understand that they are not 3% increases. They are 3% of the midpoint of the pay range. And so employees who are over the midpoint will receive 2.5% of the midpoint, and employees under the midpoint would receive 3% of the midpoint. And I highlight not more than because it does offer some flexibility in years of economic stress. As we talk about a merit range, which is the top 110%, above 110% of the control point, those employees would strictly get their raises on merit, and it would not exceed 1.5% at midpoint. Under 3, we would include step increases being reported to this committee on an annual basis. Under page 4, we are proposing that the county executive hire division heads going forward, and only those that are required to come before the board by state statute would require approval by the board. Department heads would, in fact, continue to require approval by the board.
Can I stop you there? Why is that a big change? Why is that?
It just streamlines the process.
Well, I suppose it does, but that takes us... Yeah, well, I think that... I don't see that at all, but...
Well, yeah, these are proposed. Finally, we are suggesting that the county executive be given the authority to award special assignment pay, which you know to be extra work, and that we would report same to this committee.
And how much is that?
It can be between $2,500 and $5,000 on a one-time special assignment basis.
And what's a special assignment? I mean, what's the definition there?
The example that's constantly used is Al Schwartz being the guy who coordinated the building of the new Brookside, and that would earn someone who was given that level of responsibility some extra wages.
Well, I know, but I'm looking, I think the the importance is the lack of definition of what a special assignment is here. And see, I think without that definition, it means whatever the executive says it is. And if you're going to do that at all, and that's a different issue, but if you're going to do that at all, it must be tightly defined. Otherwise, you're opening up an enormous issue here, I think, of increases to certain ones for, quote, special assignments.
On that issue, currently the policy as it comes to the administration committee for approval, and when I reviewed this with the county executive, I suggested that he have to report to the committee. Because, I mean, again, he is an elected official, and he is accountable to the public as well. And he can be bring it to this committee and be criticized by this committee. We spent a lot of time on special assignment pays in the last 2 years. And prior to that, there may have been one other one that had to do, I believe, with Frank Matteo, that when they brought that in, and we said, no, if his job has really changed, then make a permanent change to his position, and that's what they did. And the one before that was Al Swartz with Brookside. Those are the only ones in my time on the board.
I think that, well, last year was.
Last year's?
Yeah, was the irrigation.
Oh, you should have got it.
We are still grateful.
That was before they had the policy.
Well, I don't think it's important to discuss who did it in the past and how many. Is the concept of defining the term special assignment if you want to have that at all. But if you want to have it, you must define that with specificity.
Is it, there's a definition, Supervisor O'Neill is saying on page 5. Is that correct?
Well, I think it has to be, yeah, it says above and beyond normal job duties. Again, I think that is too broad. I think it has to be, that's so broad that an executive could define it to be most anything.
An attorney could drive a Mack truck too bad.
True. Or a lot smaller truck.
That should also be determined before the assignment is made.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you want to do this at all. But I think going back to this other one where you take the board out of the process of approval of division heads is a grave mistake, and I think we ought to act on that now and strike that now, not postpone that. And I would so move. I think that we have a good system where the board approves of department heads, division heads. We ought to stick with that. Don't give up your power. And I would so move to strike that now.
Second. Moved by Supervisor Rose, second by Supervisor Eckness. What was the logic behind that?
The process is somewhat elongated. We have to assign an interim and then go to the board in order to get the employee to come to work or have the employee come to work in expedient time, in a short time period. If the board were then to not endorse the same employee, we would have gone way behind the... we'd have to go back to go. That employee would have to be let go on an interim basis. And
exactly.
It just... we would rely on the county executive to hire his own staff, in short.
Well, just in refutation, I think this is one of the checks and balances that we have, and we need to retain that.
Any other discussion? On the amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Youth and governance?
Aye.
Aye. You sure? We're not going to adopt this tonight, but these are changes.
Yeah, there'll be changes we'll put on.
Now, the bigger issue of the special assignments isn't the fact that, because we already do that. I mean, basically all they're doing is changing it so that the county exec approves it rather than the finance committee.
Correct.
So they're taking that away from the finance committee. What else are you proposing to take away from the finance committee?
Nothing.
Well, let me then go to that issue, and I would move that it, that decision be left with the Finance Committee. The approval of a special assignment. I don't think that that should be. Again, I think this is one of the checks and balances. This is not your private business. That's an entirely different ball game. We're dealing with public policy, and I think that we as elected officials are the check on something like that. I would move to strike the way it is and keep it with the Finance Committee.
Is there a second?
How
you're saying this has happened twice in the last few years? How many times, actually, I
would say three or four. I think we've had special assignments. Employees who took on extra work that was over and above the description of their job.
See, I guess I don't have a problem with this one. Okay.
We've hammered this, and we've hammered employees out in public on this issue. There is a check and balance in the fact that it has to be brought forward to the Finance and Administration Committee, similar to the way we pay our bills. The public has the ability to take a look at the way we're spending our money, and if they want to be critical of the way we're spending our money, or they want to be critical of the county executive giving somebody a special assignment pay, or we want to be critical, we can. And I think therein lies the accountability. It's a $2,500 to a $5,000 question. It doesn't happen often, and I would not support changing it. Supervisor Gray.
Well, to be clear, the way it is currently, without this, what we see in front of us, the Finance Committee has the ability to act on it before the fact. This, the way it's written now, it says the annual report on special assignments to be presented to the Finance Administration Committee. That is after the fact.
Yes.
Am I understanding this correctly?
Correct.
Yeah, well, I'm not in favor of reacting to it. I'm in favor of being proactive and evaluating it before the event happens. So that's why I would support. I did second Supervisor Rose's proposition.
Any other discussion on the amendment? So to be clear on the amendment, a yes vote means to leave the policy the way it is, where it's approved by the committee and you want to strike this out of this policy. A no vote means that you're going to give the county executive the ability to have special assignment and make a payment and make a report to the committee. All those in favor?
Mr. Chairman, and when we, just so that it's clear, when the committee approves this, this is prior to that being done?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. So, in all those in favor, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No. So, I just want to, youth and governance?
Oh.
So, I just want to hit the, it seems like the ayes have it. Is that, we have two noes?
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. 3-2.
Just being clear, my hearing's not what it was.
Nor is your eyesight.
I see one more change that I didn't highlight, and it's right underneath the one we just talked about. Now that we no longer have union contracts, we want the ability to have our Department of Public Works employees who have the credentials and the license to be able to plow snow. $30 to $40 per hour is the range of pay that we would propose. And the two individuals who are qualified to do the same both earn between those two numbers. So we would like the ability to use them going forward, and that is a change proposed. There is a name change for one employee in the plant. There's another name change that we'll talk about in the changes, but in this case, there's no fiscal impact. However, the county executive would like to change the name of his administrative assistant to his chief of staff. Again, that is more indicative of what this county executive has his administrative system doing. The only other thing I would point out that is different from the policies that we talked about earlier is that for non-represented or non-classified employees, PTO is available on the first day of employment as opposed to others who have to wait 91 days. That is, again, simply a management perk, if you will. Other than that, there are no changes to the non-classified pay plan.
Mr. Chairman, going back to the special assignments, if we could, I think we ought to tighten up the language here, and that is that
the committee now has the ability to approve or deny, so they can determine whether it's warranted or not, is that correct?
That's true. I don't want to, I think it's fine to have something extra if one is doing their regular job as well as this additional job, and therefore you get extra pay. And I think that we ought to make that clear here as part of it. It certainly hints at that, but I'm not clear that it clearly defines that a person is doing their ordinary job as well as this extra work.
It says above and beyond. Take on well, special assignment of significant duration that are above and beyond the normal job duties may be recommended. And now it's recommended, and you still can say
mm-hmm. Is above and beyond the normal job duties mean that they are still doing their regular job duties?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
So one thing, I want to go to the last pages of costing and talk about make sure everybody understands what the costing of this change means to the budget. Do you have it? Is it looking down right here?
Yeah, it's the last page. It's the last page.
So if you could take us through that.
So in 2012, the step increase is $106,000. The merit increase is $27,000, for a total of $133,000. And then the incremental effect above that for 2013 is $102,000, for a total of $236,000. Then with the roll-ups, is $281,000. And then below that, you did step increases. And that. The numbers I went through include everybody. Below that, we broke out the sheriff non-reps because they tend to be in a different plan and different things happen because of the civil service ordinance, right? So we just broke that out, but it's $17,000, $11,000 for a total of $28,000, which rolls up to $35,000.
And that's included in the numbers, including sheriff non-reps, so it includes everybody, the numbers above.
The 281 includes everyone.
So just review what a step increase is again and what a merit increase is.
The merit increase is the very top of the scale, what would have been in other wage classifications, the top two steps. We segregate those folks and we say for the people at the very top of their range, you will earn based on performance. And so an exemplary evaluation will get you somewhere between 0 and 1.5% of a control point increase if you are at the top of that scale. Increase.
Clear, if they're at the correct. Top of their scale, regardless of where they are, if they're at the top of their scale,
they get nothing.
But they could be subject to a merit increase.
No. A merit increase is only for the period between 110% of the control point and the top of the scale. Employees who are at the top of the scale cannot earn step increases. They can only earn across-the-board increases in years when the economy would justify saying. But for the last what amounts to the two steps, at the end of the wage range, we are requiring merit to move up. And it is a smaller raise than the others. So it's strictly based on evaluation. Other steps are earned with positive evaluations, but the step is fixed at either 3 or 2.5%. That is an unfixed.
Give an example of merit. Can we just give a real example? Elmer Fudd,
Elmer Fudd earns $100,000 a year. Elmer is $20,000 away from the top of his scale. 1.5 of Elmer's midpoint, which we will say is $50,000. What's 1.5% of $50,000?
$750.
Would be eligible for a $750 raise if Elmer got an excellent evaluation. If Elmer got less than an excellent evaluation, it would be something less than $750 or zero. When Elmer gets enough step increases to get up to $120,000, which is the top of his range, he's no longer eligible for a merit or a step increase. And because we have determined the top of our ranges to be the appropriate wage for someone who has worked for us for 11 years in those categories, and so it is only when the ATBs are approved that that individual will get a raise.
So that matrix of you have, if I recall what I saw now,
right.
is 1 through 10, and you have or something like that.
Right.
There's different steps. So whether in those last two
right.
Columns, that's where they can only get it based on merit?
Correct. Okay.
Do they have the Elmer Fudd's job?
Actually, sounds pretty good to me. I wonder what Elmer does.
That's why he goes hunting all the time.
Oh, okay.
Question on this?
Yes.
This takes into account 2012 and 2013. Are we looking at budgetary impacts beyond these 2 years?
Yes. We're seeking a commitment to the plan as written. It obviously doesn't bind you. Nothing could. But that is the cost for the next 2 years.
So this is just the format going forward. We could expect similar in 2014, 15, 16.
Right. It would be about $280,000, whatever that number is.
And Mr. Chairman, why do you think there? What is your argument that we should give them these increases, wage increases, when we didn't to the other employees whose contracts or who's come before the board and who's in the budget, etc.?
But you did give step increases, Supervisor Rose. You always have. Step increases were never. Disincluded from the contracts, you always awarded across the board wages or increases mm-hmm. to the wage classification schedule.
So
this
they're
is
still
the only group of employees that has not gotten step increases, with the exception of I think two in the last 8 years, and again they were not whole. There are some related issues to that. For example, we're required to hire people between the bottom of the step and the midpoint of the step by the non-rip pay plan. But when we hire someone and they look into the future, like many of us do, and they see earnings potential going forward, we have to explain to them that that may not happen. And ultimately, it's somewhat of a deception. And I mean, at least if we could commit to somewhat of a regular increase based on positive performance and good evaluations, that would be a similar commitment that we make to all of our other employees. As we go forward in the non-union world, for lack of a better description, we will be proposing wage classification schedules like we always have because long-term employees should be rewarded for good work.
Is what you're saying is that as the union contracts are we don't have anymore, they will still have step increases for those positions?
Yes. Yeah, because a 5-year employee should earn more than a 1-year employee should earn more.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'll be different.
Right, but they're not going to lose that part of the contract. I mean, it won't be a contract. I understand that. We're not negotiating.
Yes. We are going to put forward some sort of incremental step through a wage progression for employees who perform successfully for Kenosha County over a period of what we would call a wage schedule.
Okay. Where is that document, or is that to be done, or what? Where is you saying at page 13, Diane points out, or 18, that it says their step progression under the current wage schedules will continue?
Well, the current wage schedule is the one we're working on now. So, I mean, we have a range schedule.
I mean, you're going to present a new one, or are you talking about the old one?
Because there's no across-the-board increase,
yeah.
There's no need for a new one.
Okay.
It's the same one we used in 2009 and 2010.
Could you give a copy of that
to
the committee so be, you know, we don't keep all these things in mind as you do?
I understand. You have a lot more to think of.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but...
Oh, yeah, you do. Okay.
So, historically, when 2004, mm-hmm. I think it was, we ended the step increases because in the old non-rep pay plan, they were given the ability, I believe, to give a percent, or 1.5%. And when we asked for the report to the committee, everybody got it, and there was like no discretion. So the tool that we were trying to give management mm-hmm. to reward progression was used. Mm-hmm. And this is something that, you know, I talked to the county exec earlier this year and said, I want to address this. This has been on other committees. I think that when I looked at the analysis that they did in the non-reps, their dollar was 38 cents. It was half of where the represented employees were. It certainly is an abuse of a class of employees, number one. And number two, it causes compression problems. And why should one employee have to come in here that is getting out of line with compression, have to come in here and have this committee publicly put them on the line and talk about their pay increase? I just don't think it's fair to that employee who's having compression problems. So, yes, there's a cost with this, but I think you want to have an environment where the administration and this county executive has said they're going to use it as a tool and they're not going to abuse it, and he's going to challenge evaluations, and then I think there's a report as to who gets it, maybe not who gets it, but there's a report requirement here as well.
To you?
Yes.
To the committee?
To the committee. So I think it's a good thing, and it's rewarding good behavior and hard effort. That's what I think you want. Any other discussion on this? Mm-hmm. Okay.
By the way, the score is 2-2.
Thank you.
I have. It was 0-2.
Inside knowledge.
I have insight. I have help. not that I'm not paying complete and total attention.
3-2
update. 3-2 Milwaukee. Now we're cooking. Yeah. If I was really after it, those TVs would be on. Okay, the last thing is to go over the page that you used to know as S10. I don't know what it is now, but everyone has it, and it is included in this packet. So if anyone else needs one, it's in.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
These are the changes that we are proposing in the budget, and you do not have one as complete as this. So it's not the one in the board book.
We need to get a couple more copies.
Yeah.
It's the one I gave you this.
Good. Does everybody have a copy?
Here, I'll get one. Do you need
one? Al's got one.
No.
Every one of you got one of these packets at your chair this evening. Right. So I'll be working off that S10 because that'll be the one you'll be most familiar with when you do your budget or the budget.
I don't know what S10 is.
It's a typical summary page you have in your budget.
Oh,
just replaces.
Oh. What did you bring in there?
Okay, I'm going to go over these one by one. The summary is in the cover memo. And I just wanted to point out, and I'm not going to reference these specifically, where for each one of the changes I've included supporting documents, and so we will talk about a health department reorganization, and that's attachment one. And for some of our changes and reclassifications, I've included justifications and job descriptions that you can look at as you prepare for budget deliberations. So I will start with the first position adjustment. We're going to establish a new position in the non-represented pay plan that is going to be called the Golf Equipment Manager. This job will be taken by someone who is currently in Local 1090. And for this promotion, there is a raise involved. The job will fall into non-rep range C, and I've given the low and the high point there. The budget impact for this job is, hang on one second, is $6,546. And you'll see it under reclassifications, range salary, and position name changes. Further, I'd like to deal with the new positions. The golf coordinator supervisor is a formerly long-term seasonal job that we paid the employee $17 an hour. This individual is charged with attracting, scheduling, and coordinating and supervising golf outings. The individual who is doing this for the county is particularly good at it and has really improved the number of golf outings that we have at Brightondale annually. And we see value in having him do this year-round. So we are proposing a full-time job. You'll remember, I think 2 years ago, we established a new wage range in the non-represented pay plan that we call AA. The AA is kind of a place where we can form unique compensation packages for employees like this who have kind of a unique role. We are not changing this individual's hourly wage. We are, however, offering him a full-time job, but he will be limited to a single health plan.
What do you mean by that?
He can only take a single. He can't take a family plan.
Is he single?
Can we do that? I mean,
sure we can.
We can restrict people, employees. Yes.
We've been calling it non-rep light, but yeah. We have non-rep light.
Right, yeah.
We have employees in that category are limited to single plan. So that would be the terms of his agreement.
Before he starts.
Yes. So we're hoping to increase the number of golf outings with this man and his talents. The next is reorganization that is being proposed by the Division of Health. And in this case, I am going to ask you to look at Attachment 1, which is the first attachment behind the changes. You will see that we are eliminating two FTEs from the Health Department. And really, it is the two FTEs are kind of an accumulation of incremental FTEs. I'm taking all of that work and spreading it over the administrative staff. In addition, we are reclassing administrative staff to more accurately reflect the work that we are asking them to do. And so the director of nursing will be eliminated, and we will reclass that position to clinical services and assistant director. This individual is reclassed from another position, and she will earn an additional 3% on the first of the year for accepting this position. She will be the director, the number two in effect for the division. The budget impact is nearly $4,800. The assistant director of nursing position is being reclassed to nurse manager. There is no change in earnings for the individual involved. There's no change in range. If you approve step increases for non-reps or for non-classifieds, that individual will receive that. But going into budget year, there's no impact. We're going to eliminate the Director of Environmental Services and reclass that to a Manager of Environmental Services. Again, same range. However, this position is currently vacant, so we anticipate a $6,300 savings with a promotion of one of our environmental sanitarians, public health sanitarians, into that job. We're also eliminating one of the four public health sanitarian jobs. This one is vacant. A public health technician, again, another double A, kind of a hybrid job. The job with the single health plan will have a budgetary impact of $58,000. And it really is an entry-level position, and it offers far more flexibility than a public health sanitarian would take. That concludes the explanation of the Health Division reorganization. One union reclass that we are proposing is in the county clerk's office. The office associate we are proposing gets reclassed to a senior office associate. We're beginning a process of developing unique job descriptions, and in addition to additional work done by the individual who holds the position, this is also the woman who digitally videotapes the county board meetings and other things and puts them on the website. And so we will add that to her job description in addition to the additional responsibilities demanded by the office. And we're requesting that she be moved up. The budget impact is $2,400. The Highway Division is proposing combining a foreman and a patrol superintendent duties into a patrol superintendent. Again, this is a reclassification. It involves a $4,300 approximate budget impact and will promote one of our foremen up to a patrol superintendent. One of the compression issues that came up in this year is the highway foreman, one of the highway foremen in the Division of Highways. Again, he has fallen behind his peer group, and we would like to nudge him closer by giving him an additional step. So he will get a step at the first of the year under this proposal, and will get to 71.7 for his earnings, which still puts him about $300 behind his peer. Finally, the general manager of golf operations, we are proposing that he get an in-range adjustment. He has operated now for 2 years, a significant amount of money under his most, or his closest subordinate. And so we are asking for enough money to put him just slightly above the ground supervisor of golf, and the budget impact on that change is $5,200 approximately. The last thing we are proposing is changing one of our employees' reporting departments from finance to public works. And with that, a name change. And so the former business manager of Public Works will be assigned to Public Works instead of to finance, and we will rename that job Public Works Assistant. Again, there is no budget impact, and it will provide necessary support services to the Department of Public Works. And so those are the changes that require your action in the budget. I'm happy to answer any questions.
That public works assistant, is that who's that reporting to? Is that the finance?
No, the business manager for public works reports to finance now. We're changing that reporting to public works, and so that individual will report to Ray, and Mr. Kupfer will take over the responsibility of public works business manager.
Is there a link in financial reporting to the finance director?
It'll be non-financial.
Yeah, her role will be non-financial.
Is there, I'm just asking a question, does public works, does finance director have financial control over public works?
Yes.
Just a correction on your budget sheet here, position added there, you have FTEs eliminated in that column, should that be added? I'm looking on your chart there.
Yeah.
What's happening in the medical examiner's office? I see a position added, and then I see a position eliminated.
The medical examiner, the new medical examiner, would prefer to have a chief deputy and then a deputy medical examiner rather than what we had in the budget as a chief investigator. And so her model, her model for her office is herself, chief deputy, and a deputy.
So the medical examiner's compensation that we hired is what?
$70,000.
And we have a, am I seeing this where we have a chief deputy at 81?
That's full budgetary impact, right?
Total cost. No.
Position. Total cost.
Total.
So it includes the benefits and the health insurance.
Thank you. Okay. We got through your four items there?
Yes.
Question, Mr. Chairman, under this defunded Human Services Office of the Director, Assistant Director of Human Services.
Yes.
Where's, what happens to that?
Jim Kennedy is retiring. And they have opted not to fill that job.
I see. Yeah. That's why you're
right. Meeting's a little short.
He's very bold.
Any other questions on that?
Yes, he's getting old in his old age.
Okay, we're going to go on to item number 11. It's 854, resolution regarding employee health insurance contribution for Kearns County employees.
It's not me.
Any discussion?
Can you do a presentation on it?
Well, I mean, I think we discussed it. I mean, before, it's only a question of, I think we need to get, at least from my perspective, I'd like to see that chart which I asked for. I mean, I think we need to take a position on it, one way or the other. That's a different issue, but do you want to? But I'd still like to see that chart presented to the supervisors. I think it has some persuasive impact.
Is that something you want at the board level?
Yes. But I'd like to have that chart along with it.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
I mean, I'd like to have that chart at the whenever the board takes a position on this health insurance premium, no premium issue. I'd like to have that. The supervisors, you know, in the packets ahead of time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
Sure. Supervisor Decker prepared the resolution. Certainly, a supervisor can ask to have something put on the agenda.
No. Is it on the agenda?
It is on the agenda.
I mean, I'm talking about at the county board.
No, it is on our agenda at this point in time for discussion. Came for one supervisor, and I put it on the agenda. A chairman of a committee can put any resolution they want on. And in light of the fact that we are going to be talking about a budget here in 2 weeks, I wanted to put this on the agenda, have it addressed, and possibly if we want to do something about it or we want to have the county board take a look at this and opine on it before we get into the budget deliberations.
I would like to know what, from my own perspective, I'd like to know what other supervisors on the board think about this. I'm not sure if I support this or not. I haven't decided. I'd like to see this information that I requested of the personnel director. But I would be interested in knowing what other supervisors' opinion is on it. And if Supervisor Decker would put it on the county board agenda, I think that
certainly could start that process.
Well, then it would just get referred right back to us without discussion.
Right. I mean,
well, can we send it to the board?
She presented it to the chairman, and the chairman put it on the agenda, so it's here for us to...
Can't move forward it with no recommendation?
Move the table?
We can forward it with no recommendation, have the board get it on Tuesday, have some discussion on it, have it come back to us, and then be able to address it in our budget deliberations.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with that. I mean, throwing it out to the county board to have a big, you know, big row on Tuesday night when it hasn't even come and been discussed by our committee. I would prefer to have the information Supervisor Rose is asking for and get some time to digest it and have it come back before our committee.
We just
this is the course that you chose to take. You put it on our agenda without it going there, which is fine. It is your prerogative. But why throw that out on the board? I mean, I think it's premature. I think, you know, we still need to digest some of this other information with the health benefits and such. And I think it's not premature in the fact that we're talking about that, but to throw it up to the board, what are they going to have to compare it to or talk about? I mean, I think I agree 100% with Supervisor Rose that we need to get that information. I'd be interested to see the same thing you're asking for and discuss it then amongst ourselves before we go doing anything with the full board.
What's the information that we're going to have presented to us?
You were going to, I asked the personnel director if he wouldn't put together what does an average employee earn and what is the current budget impact, how is that the contribution to, for example, the pension plan and anything else so that we have, and compare that to the year in which that wasn't there so we can visualize what the actual...
The personnel director doesn't know
gross
the
amount they're going to get received.
The average cost of
right off the top.
I think that's.
I'd love to help you.
Well, he said about, but I mean, I
calculation. Yeah.
Well, I think I'd like to have it in writing, visualize it. He said about 40,000. Is it 40 or is it $42,153?
$42,617.
Is it?
No, I'm just we will get all that information for you.
Well, that's what I'd like. And, you know, I'd like to know exactly what that pension contribution for that particular employee is. I mean,
thank you.
I moved the table.
It's been moved by Supervisor Singer to table, second by Supervisor O'Day.
Well, I think we ought to have this then on our next agenda, though, with this information to it.
Sounds good.
Any other discussion? Yes.
What good is it going to do to put it on our next meeting agenda when we've already discussed the budget and had the budget meetings? This is part of...
I meant the next budget. I said the next meeting that we...
Budget.
We have, yeah, the next meeting. When is the next meeting?
We're going to have information by budget.
Yeah, next Tuesday. So it would be at... Exactly.
We're going to discuss the...
We are having a meeting on Tuesday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's the meeting.
That's the next meeting.
But you're going to decide if you needed a meeting on Tuesday
for approval.
Because the only thing left is this is the administrative budget of personnel, and you're going to decide you may think you don't need that now. You can just handle the regular personnel budget during the regular hearings. So... But, and then the other thing is during the budget hearings in October, the last week in October, we can cover this item and we can make sure it's agenda so you can address it as a resolution if you like.
So our next scheduled meeting then would be the Tuesday, next Tuesday, preceding the county board meeting at 6:30.
Have you decided you want that?
Or do you want to distribute the schedule so
we haven't voted yet?
This just before the county board meeting.
Yeah. It just comes down to this is a budget impact. I don't
first.
It needs to be discussed at that time during the budget process.
Yeah, but the way we do the budget is to give people 15 minutes, half an hour to talk about their budget. Are you gonna make this an item on night's agenda to start before you even start talking about the budgets? So you start a half an hour early? This needs to be addressed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the opinion needs to be addressed when we get into the budget. We need to have, and the question relative to what the impact has been asked over a week ago, I believe, what the impact of a 1% contribution, that's all been asked.
And answered. I believe it's been answered by Dave, though, too.
I thought he showed it on the draft.
Today, I got that on Tuesday.
I think it's supervisor has drafted a resolution. He or she has a right to have a hearing on that. It's on the agenda. I think we should talk about it during the personnel budget and vote it one way or the other.
Okay. So, how much time do you think we need for this?
I think we can address it when his budget comes before the personnel department budget comes.
Well, I'm just trying to figure if we're going to do this on the night of a county board meeting, are we going to allow for an hour meeting?
Mm-hmm. Oh. What, is that when your budget comes up this Tuesday?
No, I'm on the 27th.
Well, why don't we do it at that time?
That'd be okay.
Where are you in the lineup?
What?
Where are you in the lineup?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, is that the night of the IT where my budget is too?
Yeah.
I mean, we saved some time on the IT. The IT should go very quickly. So.
We've already voted on it, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to just...
We'll have time.
Do you like...
They're going around here somewhere.
Is it open there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm still
why don't we press ahead?
Okay.
I mean, I think...
I'm sorry.
It's on the 27th. There's time there. Some of those are very light.
That's all right.
I'm visualizing a mess happening.
Not at all.
Services, airworks, that waiting for an area.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, county clerk, registered jury.
27. It's 6:45.
Sure.
We've already added November 3rd as another day.
I mean, it's
so.
Like the only one between that is planning, and then you got the rest of the evening to handle them.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to, you could start a little earlier.
No, this is fine. There's plenty of time.
Here's yours.
Okay. When I redo this, I'm going to add the employee policy resolution on here, whether it's separate or incorporated in there for the 27th, and then I'm going to add on November 3rd. But we can decide what we want to do once we get through December 27th, what we want to agenda for the 31st and the 3rd if we need it. But we can wait until that point.
Okay.
All right.
On the motion to table, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye.
I thought we did not. We decided we
didn't need any.
Aye.
Thought we decided we didn't need any.
We didn't decide anything yet. I'm going to take a look at where we are at this now. I want to review where we are and whether we need to get together prior to the meeting Tuesday night. That's what we said earlier. Mm-hmm. To deal with
this point, my budget.
His budget.
This coming
up. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anything else?
Item number 12, report from the finance director / budget manager / personnel director.
I have that general fund report just to distribute, and then I'll put it on, I'll send it out in a packet or put it on the desks, one or the other.
Okay, let's just review that. Mm.
What everybody get one?
Yes.
Anybody else want to see what?
Let's see.
Oh, is it
the sheriff, primary federal inmate revenue?
The mediation. It's a liability.
Al.
Yes.
Last year when we were talking about our budget and we were playing around with that federal inmate number.
Yes.
How far was our budget below the revenue expectation?
Right now, the projection?
Last year? The 2010, we thought we were going to end at a certain number.
Yeah, I'm only going from memory. I want to say we were going to be in the high high sixes, low sevens, and we were budgeting it at like 6.6 million, and then the finance committee moved it to 6.5.
So we were anticipating, even though we didn't budget for it, we were talking about having a $500,000 surplus that would help our general fund this year.
Correct. The significant changes from the last meeting are liability insurance. It looks like it came down a little bit, and the health insurance is another $300,000 higher. We continue to see this year as a bad year. The trend that we thought would go the other way continues to trend.
So is that the $1.5 million that we have in that insurance reserve? Is this a time that you consider moving that, or does that number have to be at a level based on some external requirement?
You would consider that when we close the books at the end of the year. And if the board wanted to, you could choose to leave that intact and draw surpluses to fund this deficit that are within that year. So there, you know, there isn't the kind of trigger built into the policy, as you say. We could use it, but that's the board would have to take action to use it. So
I mean, it just comes down to, I don't know that I want to see the general fund fall. And is it, in your opinion, prudent to move some of those dollars to maintain the general fund?
Yeah. In this forecast, you can see that. Despite the $2 million deficit, the general fund is staying the same. And when I make presentations of our financial condition to any interested party, I'm able to take all fund balances into account. So if the board, it wouldn't be detrimental to the county from a presentation standpoint to leave the $1.5 million here, even if there was a modest reduction in the general fund. If it got to be substantial, I might revisit that issue and advise differently. But, the way with this document looking the way it does now, I would recommend just balancing the year, leaving $1.5 million intact. That's what I would recommend. But, again, that would be up to your approval and action at the end of the year when we close the books.
Okay. We'll start getting a clearer picture once the budget's done as we get into late in November, December. And, you know, it takes us, you know, January, February, March till we have a real clear picture on how the general fund's going to end up.
Okay.
That concludes my report.
No report?
No, I've said enough already.
And I think the treasurer's report was in your packet and the registrar's report.
So move.
All
Let me help you.
Pictures.